Active Distractions, episode number 116. My name is Chris Ferricchio, and I am here with Travis Baum.
Hello.
And Jeff Torney.
Actually, I prefer Jeffrey Von Indis.
Jeffrey Von Indis?
Like Tolly. And here we go at Mass Effect already.
Yes, I've been waiting all day to say that.
Jerry Torney Von Indis.
What up,
very
guys?
Cool. All right, today we are going to be talking about the game companies that we think have done a complete 180 this generation. But before that, we're going to talk about some distractions and news. And then after we do the feature, we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. And we'll go over the details for our contest a little bit more. But before we get into that, Travis.
Yo.
How you doing, man?
It's been an okay week, right? I mean, nothing big happened.
No, nothing big at all.
No. No, my family and I, we went to the NOLA, the New Orleans, Louisiana, and, got to be in the old country to watch the Saints win the Super Bowl, man. It was a really, really good time.
How was that? Was it crazy?
It was fantastic. I'm thinking, I'm actually going to edit all the video we got together. Since this is Jason's laptop and we have the editing software on here, I'm going to edit all the video together and get all the best shots. We even have my mother videotaped the exact moment, the crowd and all of us, the exact moment the Saints got that interception and
really ran it back for
and
touchdown.
Ran it back and that nailed, that put the nail in the coffin for the game.
Pretty much, yeah.
And she has a shot of the crowd's reaction of that, and it's amazing to see this bar of about 200 people just erupt. It was quite an experience, and it was crazy.
Was it anything like Mardi Gras? Were there boobs anywhere or anything?
It was. I've been to Mardi Gras in the French Quarter twice, and this was nothing compared to that.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen this many people, and like I said, two Mardi Gras, and Mardi Gras is usually the worst time, but it's actually it felt safer because, of course, when they won, it was just
everyone's
just
one happy. Big celebration.
The camaraderie was, I mean, everybody was, we don't even know each other, and everybody's hugging each other, kissing each other on the foreheads, messing with each other. I mean, it's like, it's partying. It was a great time. I gotta say, it was about a 3-day drunk for me. And it was so bad that I am on day 3 of my hangover. And if my voice is any indication, I feel like trash. I have been trying to detox all of the poisons I've put into my body. I have been trying to take it out, and it is not working whatsoever. But I don't want to talk about too much. Hopefully, I can get a video, and I'll just like spread it out, put it on YouTube or something.
Well, there's one thing I have to say about that game.
What's that? They played like shit. Nobody deserved to win.
No, I wasn't going to say that at all. It was a great game. It was a really, really great game, and the Saints definitely showed up. But what I was going to say is, big ass brass balls. Holy crap.
An onside kick
coming back from halftime. Yeah. That shit was awesome, man. I was like, you recovered it. Holy crap.
That happened. We all looked at each other and said, we're going to win this game.
We
never lost the momentum, man.
The thing. I mean, talk about a momentum changer. I mean, what can you do? Apparently the place kicker had never even kicked an onside kick before.
No.
And just goes out there, coming back from halftime, and just puts down a perfect one, and bounces off a Colt hand, and lands right in the hands of a Saint. That was awesome.
It was great.
I was very impressed. I was very impressed. Definitely
the probably aside from my wedding, the greatest experience of my entire life. It was amazing.
Way to cover your ass there, buddy.
She doesn't even. I'm sure she won't even listen. I'm just that's fine.
That is an awesome feeling.
Yeah,
it is. Like the only thing I came close. Well, I mean, when the Jays won the World Series twice, that was pretty awesome.
Right.
But I would love to see like the Leafs or the Raptors win something in my lifetime. Leafs, not so much, but that's pretty awesome though, dude.
Cool.
I'm a little bit jealous. That's pretty. It's always good. You get that awesome feeling where it's kind of like a buzz in the city for a couple weeks afterwards, and just
yeah.
See, my team has won two Super Bowls, but I don't live in that city,
so
I don't really get to experience that. So I mean, I'm kind of, I'm glad that I've kind of warmed up to the Falcons now because I wasn't a big Falcons fan until. The past couple of years with Matt Ryan and all that. So I'm really hoping that they keep getting better And they actually go to a Super Bowl and win one, because I'd like to actually experience being in the city of the Super Bowl champion. I think that would be really cool.
You should be a basketball fan. The Atlanta Hawks are, dude, they're close. They are awesome.
Yeah, so I know. The last few years they've apparently shaped up, but I just can't get into basketball, Jeff. I'm sorry, I can't.
I know. That's sad.
Anyway, how are you doing, man?
Besides
the fact that you're upset that I don't like basketball, how you doing?
Just such a good team, and you're just like, meh, whatever. Those Falcons, whatever.
Falcons.
I just had a really relaxing weekend. We watched the Super Bowl at a friend of ours. It's funny because none of us are really huge football fans, so we just kind of did it for the hell of it. And we don't really care for football that much. And plus, we don't get all the good commercials you guys do.
Wow.
Yeah, because I guess with licensing issues or whatnot, and I think because they're on Canadian stations, there has to be a certain amount of Canadian content. So we got some of them, but hardly any of them.
Nobody beat Doritos this year, man.
I saw one of the Doritos ones. That was pretty dumb.
That was the Golden Girl playing backyard football, right? When she was getting tackled by everybody.
Huh? No, that was a Snickers commercial.
Oh, I don't know.
It wasn't the
Doritos
suit
commercials. Were the one with the dog that put the bark collar on the guy who had the Doritos that were messing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one where a guy came out in a samurai suit made of Doritos. It was awesome. Okay. Just go to YouTube or something and look for these commercials. They're hilarious.
See, I don't remember the commercials because when the commercials came on, they would turn out. And we were watching a game at it's called the Bourbon Street Blues Company. And every time there was a commercial on, they would turn down the volume, and then the blues band would play for about 5 minutes. And then when the game came back on, they shut off their set and play. So we didn't really get a chance to even watch the commercials.
Gotcha. Well, that's one thing. Dude, there are so many commercial breaks in that game. I was getting sick and like this.
Yeah, that's just that's a side effect of football. And that's the one thing I really hate about watching the game on TV. Because it's like when there's a timeout, you know, they play a commercial. And then, you know, after someone scores, there's a commercial. And then after a kickoff, there's a commercial. You know, and then it goes back and forth like that. And that's probably the most frustrating part is like, so a team scores, and then they have a commercial, and then the team kicks off, and there's another commercial. And it's like, just let them play, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I know. It sucks. Anyway.
But
that's about it, man. Not much is happening this week or last weekend. This weekend's the All-Star weekend for the NBA, so I'm all over that.
Cool.
Starting tomorrow night? Yeah.
Nice. Not much on this side. Watched the Super Bowl, did took care of a couple of projects around the house that we're trying to get finished up before Liam shows up. This past week I was on Gamers Only Older with Scott and Adam.
Cool.
And we talked about the top five hardest games, 16 bits or less. So that was some interesting conversation. And in normal form, whenever I seem to go on their show, we never get around to doing a feature because we talk about games so much, we end up going well over 2 hours. So that's what happened. That show actually should have released yesterday, I believe. As in, after this is released on Monday, it should have released the day before. But other than that, that's about it. You know, just trying to get ready for, you know, it's crunch time. There's only 6 weeks left, and then Liam's going to be in our lives. So just trying to get ready
for
that.
It's crazy.
I know. I can't believe it. But, let's talk about some games, man. Travis, what are you playing?
All right. Make it real quick. Play more Explosion, man. I think I'm like at... How many stages are there, like, per chapter?
Per chapter? I don't know. I'm on, like, I know I'm at, like, 3-8 or something like
that. Okay, I'm on 1-7.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because I'm curious when I'm going to get... Now, are there boss...
I think there's 10. Yeah, there's boss battles.
Okay, cool. I was curious about that. Okay, yeah, so I'm slowly... Like, you know, every time I jump on it, before I, like, jump onto some of the other games I'm playing on the 360, I'll hop on Explosion Man and do a couple of rounds. It's satisfying, good time. I mean, I like that. I'm having a fun, good time with it.
Cool.
Going through Mass Effect 2, playing my Renegade campaign for the inevitable special feature we're going to do hopefully soon.
Yes, we are.
You're playing it. Are you playing it through on – are you doing Renegade from the beginning, or are you importing your Mass Effect 2 character again and with all your powers and then doing it Renegade?
No, I last week, I have two separate saves from Mass Effect 1.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
one Paragon, one Renegade. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm doing the other one. I gotta give props to Jack. When I was in, Louisiana, I saw that there were, you know, people were getting early Heavy Rain demo codes for doing some sort of Flash game online. And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, well, I really can't do it. I mean, there's no point in me doing it over here because, I mean, over in Louisiana because, well, it's pointless. I can't use the code. So I was like, well, this sucks. Well, Jack sent me a direct message on Twitter. Said, hey, man, you know, well, why don't you check your messages? And I'm like, I looked up there, and he had me a European demo code all waiting for me. So,
oh, nice.
That was
cool.
The first thing. Yeah, cool. So props to Jack, man. Good stuff. And, you know, I went ahead and started playing it, and I am going to love this game.
Oh, really? So you liked it a lot?
I loved every second of it. I'm a stickler. Number one in my book is storyline. Mm-hmm. I've played games with questionable gameplay, but great story. And like, I mean, to this day, like I really don't like the Metal Gear 1 and 2 gameplay. Like I think it's just kind of weird from what I really really like. But the story is so good, in my opinion, that I'm just like, give me more of it. I'm just glad Metal Gear 4, in Solid 4, they eventually changed the gameplay and made it a lot better. But with Heavy Rain, I mean, and you know, it's mainly the quick time events that you're doing, but they're very situational. You know, if you fail it, it's okay. It moves on to the next situation. If you fail it again, okay. Especially in a fight, if you like fail two in a row, you got to really fight back with the QTEs to really get the upper hand back into the fight that you're in. If not, you're going to get the hell beat out of you. And it's really, really cool how they do that. The demo gives you one action type of demo, and then the other demo, they give you more of like you're like a cop and you're looking around a crime scene. I think it looks brilliant. They're getting knocked off a lot in reviews because the reviews just came out, the embargo lifted, so they're like kind of like, coming down on like a lot of the voice acting and everything, which I really don't have a problem with. I guess I'm not paid.
Is there a problem with the voice acting? They don't like it?
Well, they're just saying that it sounds like it's European actors making American accents, and it just sounds terrible. That's what a lot of the reviews are saying, but it's still getting awesome reviews.
Like, all the reviews that I've seen have been really good. I mean, it's got a few sevens from people that just like, hey, it's QTEs and that's it. But you know, other than that, it's been like mostly nines and tens.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sitting at an 89 on Metacritic right now.
Which isn't bad.
No. That's great. Yeah. That's really, really good. So I'm glad it's getting reviewed
fairly well.
That's good
for what
it
is, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. For something that's more of like an interactive story and not much of a game. Not very gamey. But to get that good of a score. Yeah. But I kind of expected it. I mean, I knew this was going to be a better game than, you know, Indigo Prophecy, you know, per se. So I was expecting good scores like this. And I'm loving the demo, and I know I'm going to love it. I mean, this is day one.
Yeah, you can get that now, too, right? You can just go ahead and download off PSN. As of today, I think it came out.
Yeah, the 11th, yeah. So anybody can get it now or a couple of days ago if you're listening to this for the first time. So I'm playing that. I played about 4 times, and I'm probably going to play it some more.
Cool.
And the last thing I played this week, I picked up on Tuesday, BioShock 2.
All right. Nice. Yeah, I got that too. Only played it for 10 minutes, though.
Yeah, I'm going to talk more about it next week. So hopefully you'll play it more next week, Jeff, and we'll talk about it in depth together. Because right now I'm kind of in it's more of the same boat.
Okay.
It's a good thing because, you know, BioShock 1 was a pretty good game. It was decent. It had some shooter issues, but for the most part, it's a really good game. But a lot of the things that made BioShock 1 a good game was the world of Rapture. And, you know, it's your first time playing the game in this world, and you're like, okay, this is really neat. I'm really involved in this, you know, this world that Andrew Ryan created. I'm really, really sold on this world, the mood, the old 1950s setting. And now when you go back to it, it's kind of lost because it's your second time through. And you don't get that, wow, I'm in Rapture again feeling like you did in the first game. So you kind of lose the aesthetic moodiness of it. But, like I said, it is more of the same, which is not a bad thing. The shooting's still fine. The addition of the dual wielding, though, adds another dimension to it to where you can dual wield your plasmids and your weapons and everything. Quick problems I can definitely tell I'm having. Really the main problem that I'm having right now is that this isn't really a spoiler, of course, because it's on the front cover, but you're a big daddy in this game. You're not just some regular guy. But you'll have splicers with, like, handguns, and, like, they'll take out two or three shots, and you're down to half your health already. To where, as a big daddy, you're supposed to be nice and armored, take a couple of shots, because last time I fought a big daddy, it took me a couple of minutes to take them down, and in this game, they can take you, and it's like, you don't get that feeling that you're a big daddy.
Aside well, you're a prototype big daddy, though.
Yeah, but come on, you're armored, and aside from the fact that, you can hold a full machine gun in one hand while firing plasmids with the other, but a splicer
if they made you a total badass, the game would have no challenge.
So and that's true, like, and that's true. And another thing, now that we mentioned, the developers were talking about this during the development process that, okay, when you're a big daddy, since you are a big daddy, you're not some regular guy walking around, that not all the splicers will attack you. They'll just see you, and sometimes they'll go on their way. Now, if there's a lot of them, they'll gang up on you. I haven't come to that instance once at all. I mean,
do
if
they
I get
always
a,
attack you?
They
or?
Always attack 100%. And I don't even provoke it all the time because I tried it. I was like, okay, let me walk past this guy, and boom, he turned around and attacked. and I was actually disappointed because it seemed like it could have been a neat little feature. Okay, if you have one little guy here, yeah, they're not going to mess with you, but all of a sudden you get ambushed and that one little guy turns around and starts trying to beat on you. That would have been a really, really cool little, it just would have been a little more realistic. You know, and now I'm like, okay, this guy just sees me. I'm in his cone of vision, and now he's attacking me. And it kind of takes away from what I thought the game was going to be. So right now where I'm at, I am enjoying it, but there are a couple of problems that are for some real picky problems, but they're just gnawing at me a little bit right now. I don't know why, but hopefully it'll get a little better. I heard the plot twist like the last game had. You know, it's supposed to be really, really good, and it's supposed to propel the story even further, so I'm really looking forward to getting to that part. So, but that's all I really have been playing, guys. So, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, Bioshock. I cracked and bought it. I was originally just going to get Dante's Inferno, but I decided I have so many games. I'm like, I got to trade some of these in that I'm never going to play again or I've never played yet. So, with three games coming out within 1 week that I needed to buy or I wanted, I was like, I'm just going to do it. So I went against what I usually do and traded in some games to GameStop. I know, whatever, evil. But, hey, I'm getting three games out of it, so. Yeah, same with Bioshock. Like I said, only 10 minutes in. I kind of wish it opened a little better, because, I mean, that's one of the best things of Bioshock 1. The way that game opened is awesome.
Yeah,
like, phenomenal.
I agree with you.
And I played for about 20 minutes. I didn't hit one moment where I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll talk about it more next week, because I haven't really played it. Dante's Inferno. It's pretty much, so far, what I expected it to be, and that's a God of War clone, but not quite on the same level as God of War.
Okay.
I found it extremely frustrating, for one, that they don't really give a good idea of that in the demo. I started playing it on normal, and there's some parts. Like, one thing God of War does really well, and I know they are different games, but let's be honest, like, Dante's Inferno is going to be compared to God of War because they wanted it to be compared to God of War. It's obvious. So I'm going to compare it to God of War. God of War's pacing is awesome. Like, it does. There's no parts in the game that get ridiculously harder than what you just did. It's like a slow ramp up, or there's some parts here and there that are really, really frustrating that the developers, like Sony Santa Monica, have come out and actually said, yeah, those parts we actually didn't play test. They just kind of, we kind of made them, and we're like, okay, we have to get the game out, let's do
what?
It. What? Like the Hades thing, you know, the spikes? The pillars in Hades?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've come out and said in interviews, like, Jaffe said, he's like, yeah, we never play-tested that part. He's like, we need to get the game out, and he's like, if we play-tested it, that wouldn't be as hard and as frustrating as it was or whatnot. And there's a couple in God of War 2 where you have to turn cranks, but enemies will constantly be attacking you, and if they hit you, you stop turning the crank, and say, like, a lever or a door starts going down, you gotta, like, those kind of things really piss me off about it. But there's few and far between those games. Dante's Inferno, they happen way too often, and it's just, it got to the point where I thought it was like kind of like cheap. I'm like, this is not fair. Like, this early in the game, like, one hit from certain enemies take off that much health. I put it down to casual because I'm like, I'm just not having fun at certain parts. They'll be like, oh, this is fun. Yeah, it's like God of War. And all of a sudden, I get to a stupid puzzle that is pretty much cheap. They send you enemies at you at all times, and they respawn until you do something. And I can't stand that. So that's my biggest complaint with it right now. It's a kind of... There's some frustrating parts in there, so I just put it down to classic, but the problem is now is it's a little bit too easy. So I kind of wish there was a nice in-between in there. So I've been kind of putting it up and down now. I will play it on normal, and then if I can't get past something like three times, it's so frustrating. And it's not because the game's hard. It's just because it's literally frustrating to the point where you're like, this should not happen. And
yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, like there's nothing you can really do about it except for get lucky in some places. It seems, anyway. But so far, I'm enjoying it. I'm going to be the one... Are you going to review that, Chris? Am I reviewing Dante's Inferno?
I think you're doing it, because I've actually got three in my queue right now. I've got Castlevania Rebirth, Darksiders, and White Knight Chronicles.
Oh, okay, cool. So yeah, I want to try to beat it by the end of this weekend, hopefully, so I can move on to Bioshock 2. But yeah, it's good so far. I mean, besides that one complaint that really sticks out, kind of like a sore thumb in my eyes anyway, it's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting in some of the level creation and some of the stuff that's in there. Some sick stuff, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, really? This is, wow, a little over the top. And there's some parts I was like, this doesn't really need to be in there. It's kind of, I'm all up for like gore and stuff and like the boob here or there. I mean, who doesn't like boobs? But it's really over the top in this game. And just kind of, yeah. But whatever, it's entertaining.
Everyone likes boobs, but when you start watching Showgirls, you just kind of get numb to it.
Exactly. And you might as well be looking at elbows at that point. It's like, all right. What else? I finished my first playthrough of Mass Effect 2.
It's going to go so down close. What did you think?
it's going to go down in one of my best games I've ever played in my life.
Wow. So oh, yeah. Nice.
It's definitely in my top 10 for sure. I'd have to look at my list and see.
It's easily in the top 5. You can go ahead and say it, buddy.
I think it might actually be in my top 5, but I'd have to really have to sit down and veg and see if I play it through again. And I'm actually not doing what you guys are playing through before we do the show. I don't want to do that because I'm afraid if I do that, I'm going to see most of what you guys are going to have to say, so it won't be a surprise to me. Like, I want to be like, oh, crap, you can do that. Oh, shit, I got to try that on my next playthrough kind of thing.
A problem with me is because sometimes when I'm playing my second playthrough, I'm like, okay, maybe I need to stop because I'm so invested in the first way the game ended. Like, does that make sense? Like, I don't want it to end any other way. Like how my final... Like, because I lost people, but... I'm not okay with it, but in a way I am kind of like, okay, this is how it happened. You can't go back. You can't change the past. Dead is dead.
Yeah.
You got to move on. You know, and now I kind of don't want to cheapen the way it ended.
I am going back because the way it ended, I think I lost one more than you did, plus some other things. And the some other things was a total brain fart on my behalf because I was at the end and I had to make a decision. And I don't know what happened if Tanya called me or something, but I broke my attention span and I wasn't paying attention to what was being said and just came up with a thing on screen. Basically send somebody or tell them to go themselves.
Yeah.
And I thought they were talking about something totally different and I picked the wrong choice and something happened. So I am going to go back and do everything in my first save and do everything the way I did do it, except for I'm going to change that one decision because I wouldn't have done that if I knew what was the whole reason behind that I was making that decision. But I'm fine with what the other stuff that happened. I'm like, you know what? I made the wrong decisions. Whatever. I should live with them.
Yeah, I'm gonna do two different save branches, I think. I'm gonna save right before the Omega 4 relay, and then I'm gonna beat the game, and whatever happens, happens. And then if people die, I'm gonna go back on a separate save branch and try and get everyone to live. But when I import to Mass Effect 3, I'm going to use the save where the people died.
Yeah, no, I'll probably do the same, to tell you the truth, because I want to see the
Chris, you can't do that after the IFF relay mission, after IFF. If you take too long, it'll affect your ending.
Oh, no, after the IFF relay, I'm going straight through the rest of the game.
Okay. I thought you said you were going to wait.
I know you get another squad member after the IFF relay. I know that.
Okay, yeah.
It's going to be IFF relay, get the squad member, do his loyalty mission, go straight through the rest of the game.
Yeah,
that's my plan.
I want to get into it now, but yeah, I guess we'll save it for the special. Yeah. But,
special.
Yeah, so much stuff I want to talk about.
Yeah, I know. I'm in the same boat, man.
I did get it on with Miranda. Yes, my goal was completed.
I'm actually working on Kelly right now. I think that's her name.
I don't think you can sleep with Kelly.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Are you sure?
It's implied.
I think it's implied. It doesn't show.
It's implied.
Yeah. There's no cutscene for it or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll move on then.
And there's a pretty good reason for that too, which I will not spoil. But
okay, good idea.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
What else am I playing? Oh, I played. I tried out the Sonic All-Star Racers game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't all that terrible.
It wasn't a complete waste of my time.
No, I'm gonna be totally 100% honest here, and I'll probably get some flag with it. Right now, in the state it was in terms of the demo, I don't know when the game comes out, I'd put it at the same level as Mod Nation Racers, minus all the modding stuff in terms of the actual gameplay.
Okay.
Because it ran at below 60 frames per second, which I think is pretty much you can't do that now. It's kind of, if you have a racing game, especially one of that kind of caliber, like it's cartoony graphics and not too much stuff happening, and don't have the need to have these detailed cars and backgrounds, it should be at 60 frames. Like, I mean, if Mario Kart is, everything should be. And it's not. And say Mod Nation Racers wasn't either. But it plays really well. It plays a lot like Mario Kart. Like, it's, speaking of Dante's Inferno ripping off God of War, this is a direct ripoff of Mario Kart. And everything down to the power sliding to get your turbo boost and everything like that.
Right.
So, that's okay.
Yeah, if they were to bump it up to 60 frames per second, I might actually think about buying it.
You might think about thinking about buying it.
Yeah. Nice. But I don't know. I think if it was a downloadable thing, I think it would do really, really well. But I think because it's going to be retail, I don't think too many people are going to go after it. But it was not bad. Not bad. I think at the frame rate up there, it's pretty decent. Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. It's like a lot of Mass Effect, Dante's Inferno. There was something else I thought I was playing, but no, well, not important. Oh, a lot of Tetsunoko versus Capcom.
Oh, cool.
But I talked about that last week, so.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, what about you, Chris?
Not a whole lot different this year, this week from last week.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Mass Effect 2, we talked about that.
Game of the Year?
Yeah, I'm pushing for that at
this
point, man.
Dude, it might actually happen.
it's very possible. I mean, we gave Mass Effect, the first Mass Effect Game of the Year in 2007, and I keep looking ahead at like what's coming out, and it's like the only thing
God of War
that I could see getting in the way of Mass Super Effect Street is God of War.
I get a couple in the way, but I don't think they're gonna reach Mass Effect 2 level.
Yeah,
and I'm so proud. Tanya's actually, she's close to the end of Mass Effect 1. When she said she wanted to play it, I expected her to play it for like one sit down, maybe like half an hour, and that's it. And she's pretty close to the. She's put more hours into Mass Effect 1 than I did.
We might have to get, if she can get deep enough into, if she can finish 2 by the time we do the feature, we should have her. I would love to hear her opinion on it.
Oh, if she can beat it in time, I'll ask her if she's up for
that'd
it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get through my second playthrough before we do the special, but I definitely want to start it. And I have my renegade chick from Mass Effect 1. And I'm going to import her, and she's going to be an adept. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I used adept in the first one for my second playthrough, and man, did I just have a blast. So I'm going to do the same thing this time around.
When you're doing your second playthrough, do you think you can change your class or probably not?
I don't see why you wouldn't be able to.
Like, even if you're using your Game Plus, not Game Plus, but even if you're importing your Mass Effect 2 character?
Well, the game always begins the same. And
no. I'm importing my Mass Effect 1 character.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying I want to play an adept, but I don't want to. I want to play with all my powers. I'm wondering if you change your. Because you know, at the beginning of the game, whether you import it or not, it asks you. You can basically pick your class again.
Right.
Yeah, you can. You can pick the class, and what it does, based on how your previous playthrough went, you can pick one of your special abilities from that previous playthrough and add it. So if you were a soldier at first and you beat the game and you want to go back to adept, you can go and you can have like a proficient in assault rifles.
Right.
Or proficient in something. Yeah, you have the ability to do that.
Okay, so then does it give you like the points that you got for your, like if you're on level like say 25 or 26, will it be like, hey, here's your points to redistribute how you like?
What I got, I'm not sure about that, but I know I got like 3 times the minerals. I got like 200 or 300,000 extra gold for beating the game. Like they give you a bunch of stuff to start off the game with when doing a new game plus.
Cool.
After you finish that first level and they give you all your stuff and you level up and everything, you even start up at a higher level too. It's interesting the stuff they give you for a new game plus. Right. They reward you pretty well.
Because maybe I'll do that. I'll start up a new one, be an adept, but just keep my same shepherd.
We keep on going back to Mass Effect.
All right, so I've also been playing Zelda.
All right.
Still chipping away at that. Yeah, Spirit Tracks. Still chipping away at that.
Would it be better if it was Darksiders?
Yeah, it would be. It would be. Because if it was Darksiders, it would be no train.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, also played some White Knight Chronicles. Got a little bit further in the story mode. It's starting to pick up a little bit. You know, it's still, you know, I can definitely see where reviewers are going with like what they're saying about the single player. And you know, I'm not being as harsh on it just because I enjoy the combo system and stuff like that. But we did get to have our first White Knight, which was this past Tuesday, and it was pretty successful. We had about 16 people online.
Oh wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah. It was pretty good. At one point, we had 16 people.
For a shitty game, that's pretty awesome.
It kind of faded off after that. Yes. The online is really fun. It was a lot of fun. The missions are huge. Some of them actually have like different paths within them where it's like if you complete your objectives, specific ways, maybe you'll get a rare boss or something like that. You'll have a different boss at the end, and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. Kind of reminds me of, like a mix between Rogue Galaxy and Monster Hunter in a way.
How did you guys do the 16 thing? Did you all meet in a lobby, then just kind of pair up or like go into groups of four?
What we did is we met in a town. We met in John's Chibi Knight's town, and you can have 12 people in one lobby. But you can have multiple lobbies in one town. So we just had two different lobbies in his town, and you know, you get into the lobbies and you find people around your level, and you split up into groups and go.
That's pretty
so.
Cool.
Yeah, it works out pretty well. Voice chat is flawless. I mean, it works perfectly. You know, I didn't have, there was no lag or anything once you got everything set up. So getting everything set up, it's a little convoluted at first, but you know, I mean, you get in there and you know, it's just a fun time. Biggest problem with the online mode is that you have to play the single player mode to get it.
What?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. The online mode unlocks as you get further into the game. So,
please tell me it's early.
It unlocks early. Yeah.
Okay.
But if you want to start missions, if you want to be the one to actually start missions,
like a leader kind of thing,
you have to you have to progress through the story mode and actually buy the missions from the what do they call it? It doesn't matter. But you have to actually purchase the right to start the missions, and that's the biggest thing. It's like, why would you do that? Why even bother? And you know,
they want people to get familiar with the game first, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that might be it, but the problem is, Jeff, is like, if you beat the single player and let's say you beat single player and you have access to all of the missions or whatever, and you decide, oh, I want to make a new character and try something else, you have to play the story mode again. It doesn't let you make a new character and unlock shit. Yeah, so it's very fucked up that way, and you know, that's going to really affect the way you know, I score this game when I review it.
Yeah.
Because it really makes it, you know, when it comes to things like this, you should be able to just go online and play. And
yeah, seriously.
They don't give you that option.
Did you hear the news that they released a patch today or yesterday, a couple days ago? Well, not really a patch. It's an option now. You can pay $5 to make a new character.
Yeah, fuck that shit, man. That shit works once. All right? That's a bunch of crap. You pay $5 and you can change your character. And after you change your character, that $5, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to change your character again, you pay another $5. Fuck that shit. That's crap.
Is that changing like your own character? Or is that like, that's just...
Yeah.
I just can't believe you can't make multiple characters. Like, that was one thing about PSO. I had a couple characters going, like a hunter and a ranger.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Like Phantasy Star Universe, when I was playing it, I had like four or five characters going. You know? So it's... Wow. I don't know. As I said, this is what I said last week, and I'm sticking to this. They had a lot of great ideas, but they just did not execute them well. So I really hope they learn from their mistakes as they're developing White Knight Chronicles 2, because this game could have been awesome, and it's not. So,
there's always a chance for a sequel, and that's what I mean. It doesn't seem like it's doing too bad. So,
well, no, they've already announced the sequel.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, in Japan.
We talked about
here, though,
in Japan.
Right?
Oh, yeah. They haven't announced it here, but it'll come here. I mean, Level 5 is already talking. They're talking about opening up an office in the States now. So, you know, they're gonna bring it over. It's just a matter of when, you know, so.
I hear you.
We'll see. I just hope that they correct their mistakes, because there were a lot of them made in this game. But that's about it, man. It's all about Mass Effect.
I do want to mention one more thing really quick. I did play a crap ton of the Alien vs. Predator demo. Like, a lot of it. I forgot, I forgot to mention. Yeah, because last time... It came out the night we recorded last time, right?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've probably put about 30-odd games the demo in since then.
Nice.
I really like
it. Holy crap, you like it that much?
Yeah, I'm buying it day one. I don't care if the reviews are 5 or 4 or 6. I don't give a shit, because that's, well, who knows what they're going to be. But that multiplayer is so damn fun and original and just, so fun. Anyway, that's it.
It's a good time. I'm hyped for it. All right.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, keep talking, man. Let's do some news.
You want to do some news? News of the world. News of the world. Okay, we got... Well, today's X10, for some of you who didn't know. Apparently, Chris didn't know that.
Oh, no, I knew it was X10. I just didn't realize that. That's what you
were referencing. That's what it was? Okay. Yeah. Well, X10, for those who don't know, they started this, I think, in 06. It's a Microsoft event. The first one was really big, actually. Pardon me. It was pretty much like a mini E3, but only Xbox stuff. And it ran for 3 days. Now it's kind of gotten smaller and smaller to like a one-day thing. So it was today. So some little things, little tidbits out of today. Perfect Dark, Xbox Live port, is actually hitting next month. Along with some other, I'm not really huge on that either. Some other games are hitting around that time too. They're calling it the Xbox Live, I can't remember. There's some kind of name for it, kind of like they had the Summer of Arcade in the summer. But there's like four pretty high-profile games hitting next month, so... Yeah. Alan Wake, it has a release date, finally, after years and years and years. It's coming out May 18th.
Believe it when I see it.
Also in May, the Halo Reach beta got a start date, which is May 3rd. And I'm not sure if, Travis, you checked out like any of the websites to see the pictures, pics and stuff of this. Looks good.
I saw, it does look good. I saw, Kotaku posted about 20, 25 pictures, and I saw that. And I saw the box art today. That was pretty cool looking. So, if the game's as good as the box art, I'm excited.
So, yeah, I was reading some impressions on the sites, and it seems like it's going in a different direction, but a definite good direction as well. So, I'm excited. May 3rd on the calendar. Final Fantasy 13 is getting the only system bundle. It's going to be bundled with the 360 on launch. So
I think, this wasn't fake.
No, it was real.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
dude, Sony really dropped the ball on this shit, man.
I think, you know what? I think really they don't really have to worry too much about it. I mean, it sucks because they're letting the competition have all these things, like, get away from them. But so many people relate Final Fantasy to PS, it might not be that big of an issue, but
yeah.
Actually, well, who am I kidding? I think it's at least gonna take half of what PS3 could have had if it wasn't on Xbox.
Yeah. Oh, I was happened to be looking at Amazon the other day. And you know how they have, like, you go to their gaming section, they have like the top 100 things in gaming.
Yeah.
PS3 version of Final Fantasy 13 was like number 4. And the 360 version was like number 37 or something.
Oh,
like
my
that.
God. Yeah. See, there you go.
So, I mean, you're right about that. I think it is very true that a lot of people will relate, the game to the PS3. And people who have both, will most likely get the PS3 version.
Yeah.
But, people with the Xbox, they have this option now. But, the bundle is definitely something that Sony has dropped the ball on, because they had an awesome... FF13 system that came out in Japan that could easily have come out here, and people would have flipped over it.
Yeah, and this bundle isn't really anything special. It's just a regular 360. It's basically the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 bundle without the specialty system. And
right. It's just a 250 gig system with two controllers and
two controllers and everything,
which is a really good deal.
It's a good deal.
State that that's a really, really good deal.
Yep. So that'll be hitting, I guess, March 6th or whenever the game is out.
Cool.
Dead Rising 2, for any fans out there of the game, the Xbox 360 is getting an exclusive Dead Rising 2 prologue, which is basically demo in my eyes. It's going to be released on Xbox Live. No release date, but it's going to be before the game's released, and it'll only be released on there. And they're calling it prologue. I don't really know why. Maybe I missed something, but to me it just looks like seems like it was just basically a demo.
Okay.
Modern Warfare 2, Travis, you might be interested. All the DLC from Modern Warfare 2 is going to be on 360 first before hitting PS3. Which, I don't think that's surprising, because I think Call of Duty 4 was the same way, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it was exactly the same way. They had a time release, but That sucks. My higher level characters on the PlayStation. So like, that would be hard. I would honestly probably wait until it comes with the PlayStation.
Or you just play the 360 one more and get your guy leveled up. But you probably have more people you know on the PS3 version.
Yeah, but I'm now into the release calendar to where there's a lot of stuff coming out and I'm not going to play much anymore.
That's true. There's no mandatory Modern Warfare this week, so.
Yeah.
It's all about mandatory Mass Effect.
You need time to make your games mandatory.
Sometimes games can't be mandatory anymore, Travis. Sometimes there's that time in the life where you just got to say bye and, you know, cut the loose ends and let them
go. Cut the cord.
Yeah.
And like Chris said, it's mandatory Mass Effect time, and then, you know, August it's mandatory Madden time, and, you know, every game gets their mandatory time with me.
And you just totally screwed up my transition, by the way. I think Chris got onto it, but EA is cutting their ties with NCAA basketball. They are ceasing to make those games as of, I guess, next year, this year. So next year is going to be the first year in 12 years that the NCAA does not have an official basketball game.
Now, does this game not sell well? Because, I mean, I always thought NCAA basketball was a big deal.
Yeah, it doesn't sell well here, I know that for sure. But
well, yeah.
We don't even actually can tell you the truth. I don't even think the games come, as some of them don't even come out here, depending on the year or whatever. I remember when I worked at EB, we never actually got them, but we'd get them in every once in a while from people trading them in because they would order them in from the States or whatever.
Right. But,
yeah.
Well, them making this decision is, of course, you know, them saying that it's not selling well. If it was selling well, they wouldn't
keep
making this announcement. Yeah.
And it's always been on a year later engine of the live stuff, so it doesn't really perform as well as the NBA games.
All right, well.
And it sucks. They're not going to be making two more of those, so no more of that. That sucks.
No, they're not, but you know they are going to be making more of, Travis.
What's that?
Yes, Demon Souls.
Ooh.
Yep. In a Japanese podcast known as Dengeki Games, they released some information saying that there was a sequel to a popular game that was released this year, going to be hitting roughly around the fall of 2010, and it's based on an extremely difficult game that has interesting gameplay system. So nothing's exclusively been said or officially been said, but they have pretty big reason to believe that it would be Demon's Souls.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, and apparently from this news, I've actually got this from 1UP, they said recently after they heard of this, a source close to them said, yeah, Demon's Souls 2 is in the works, so...
Good.
And it sold well, so they
oh, yeah, it sold. It sold really well.
Yeah.
That's a game that deserves a sequel.
Yeah.
That's right. It is a game that deserves a sequel. And I think there's a lot of games that came out this year or last year that probably doesn't deserve a sequel, or at least they've maybe had too many. And but Activision, of course, Activision's Activision. They don't believe any game does not deserve a sequel.
They believe in sequels yearly.
Yeah, exactly.
Or more, if you look at Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, apparently they're cutting down on that. There's going to be less than 10 Guitar Hero games released this year.
Oh, good. I'm glad, yeah.
You know, apparently there was 25 SKUs released last year. Ugh. That is ridiculous.
Where is that?
Well, it was the news article, so I can keep it in here, but I'm pretty sure it said last year, and this year they want to keep it under 10.
That has to be between consoles, too.
It's got
to
be, it's
they're counting, Guitar Hero 3 for all three platforms. They have
exactly. Yeah, they're doing that for sure. But
okay,
cool. I'm glad they're cutting down to 10. That's really good. It's all about it's all about principles.
I'll only have to pick up 8 this year. That's fine.
It's all about principles in 2000.
Well, if you don't want to pick up that, or if there's not enough Guitar Hero to go around, you can pick up Tony Hawk Ride 2, which Activision came out and said, you know what, it didn't sell too well. We know that, but it was a way to get at least the peripheral out there. Now this year we can take our time and perfect the gameplay aspect this time, you know, not just the hardware.
Oh, so what they're saying is they rushed the game.
Well, no. If you want to say that, Chris, if you want to be a glasses half empty kind of guy.
With Activision, the glass is empty, all right?
I know. Of course, the game is a piece of crap, really. The board is cool, though. I've held it. It's like, I'm like, this is actually pretty cool. I don't know if I'd ever use one, really, or buy the game, but if we want Tony Hawk 2, it's going to be coming out. So, you guys will have another shot at it.
How many copies did Tony Hawk Ride 1.
I'll tell you how many copies it sold. Tony Hawk Ride, did you say?
Yeah, Tony Hawk Ride.
It sold about...
Who gives a shit?
Exactly. That's
nobody does. Because that game sucked ass. It's like, I don't think I've ever seen a game get such bad reviews all the way across the board. It's like everybody hated that game. And
they had they didn't even have a review. Like, usually they send review copies out or whatever. They had a event to come to the day before the game released. And you had to go to like basically like a mall or something or some warehouse and play the game for 2 hours. And then those people could have a break the embargo and write the review like that day or have it like the first day of release and not have to buy the game themselves. Like, when companies do that, that's basically saying, yeah, our game sucks shit and we know it.
But please, you know, look at it anyway.
Yeah. It's still $110 too. I'm surprised it has not dropped.
Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, that was the news anyway.
Oh, cool. Great. Well, thank you, Jeff. All right. Let us take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about games that we think have made an 180 in this generation. And we'll do some new releases, listener email, and new question of the week. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this. It's time to wake up.
You know, when I was a kid, I was a hardcore gamer. There wasn't a single game that I owned that I didn't beat. And I was good. Like, I could beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One guy. But then the kids came and the responsibilities. I just didn't have the time or the motivation to keep up. My game backlog just kept growing and growing with each new release. I needed help. So I visited the game backlog support group on VG Evo. They helped me take control of my backlog.
The VG Evo Game Backlog Support Group is a non-profit organization helping gamers relieve their backlog troubles. Having a game backlog is a debilitating and embarrassing predicament. VG Evo is here to help.
I no longer have to lie about the video games I've played. I can finally say with confidence, yes, I have beat Devil May Cry. And you know what? Nero is a whiny bitch.
If you or someone you know is suffering from their game backlog, please contact www.vgevo.com.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Thank you. You're welcome. All right, so
today we're talking about... Chris, hold on a second. I got to get something off my chest right now. And
okay.
This sparked something when me and Travis were talking on the break, and we started talking about it. I was like, you know what? We haven't done one for a while. Fuck it. I'm doing a D-Rex.
Oh, shit.
D-Rex. So my D-Rex of this week is...
All right.
Dear development companies.
Uh-oh.
Why the fuck won't you let me copy my own save games onto a memory card or a memory stick? If I happen to own two consoles, like I do, I own a PS3. One of them is in my living room. One of them is in my bedroom. Darksiders. I had the joy of playing this game whenever I damn well felt like it, whether I was lying in bed naked or sitting on my couch in my boxers, because I could transfer my save game from one to the other. Dante's Inferno, last night, or not, like Tuesday, I'm playing the game in my bedroom, like, okay, I got about an hour or so in, I go to copy my save game, oh, this save game cannot be copied.
No.
What the fuck?
Lame.
I'm giving you $60 in the first place, and you can't even let me take your offline game and copy it to my memory stick, and I can't transfer it through systems that I own? What the fuck's going on? An online game, I can understand. Okay, something like PSO or White Knight Chronicles. Sure, the second you can start transferring saves, I can see this problem with, like, duplicating weapons. Your game is offline and linear. And it's my fucking save game that I paid for. And you had memory cards. The PS2 had memory cards. Every game could be copied, could be saved on wherever the hell you want. You could take it to your grandma's house if she had a PS2. Like, you could take that anywhere you wanted to and play it on any PS2 you wanted to. And I can't do that now. And for cartridges, dude, you can have a save game in a cartridge. You know what? You know, I want to play my game. You know what? Fuck the save game. I can take the whole damn cartridge to my friend's house and play it. Because now, but CDs, oh, you can't do that. But I think this is fucking ridiculous. And it has to stop. Like, unless your game is online and some kind of, like, massive multiplayer game, I don't think this should be happening at all. If you have a linear game that goes from A to B, from beginning to end, to this game's pretty cool, but this one feature might make it fucking suck, Okay, well, it's not going to go that far, but I mean, it really did tick me off that I can't play a lot of my games where I want to, that I should be. And I think it's a bunch of bag of ass. So, dear game developers, if you're making a linear game,
fuck single player, you.
Exactly. And I'm sorry for yelling, but please fix this, because I think it's asinine. And
no, you're absolutely right, Jeff. It's fucking lame. I can't believe they even do this. Especially for something like Dante's Inferno? Seriously? It doesn't let you transfer the save? That's retarded.
No, I for sure thought it would, because I'm like, Darksiders
did it. It's a single-player game. What
yeah, exactly. Fun? And I did not get it. I did not get it at all, because Darksiders did it, and there's another game I was playing where I could transfer it back and forth. I can understand DLC, like Travis was saying on the break. Like, DLC stuff, totally. Like, with Street Fighter, it makes sense. You can't copy it from one to another, because you don't know if the other person paid for it, but I can download it on the other one. That's fine. But, yeah, in Dante's Inferno's sake, there's no reason why it shouldn't be able to. At all. And now I'm kind of scared that Final Fantasy XIII might be the same way. Which I'm hoping it's not.
Oh, man. That and God of War, I'm afraid of now.
Oh, my God. Either one. Because I've gotten the habit now of, I play some games before I go to bed, and it's on my PS3, and I can't do it!
And that's funny that, you know, that happened on a PS3, that you can't transfer your saves over, because the PS3, you still have issues, they still have issues that they're trying to fix with people sharing games, like between, so yeah, you still have the ability to do that with people, allegedly.
But you can't leave me the freaking opportunity to transfer my save game, but here, Fred, you don't spend a goddamn freaking cent on games because you're too busy downloading shit.
Well, Jeff, I can definitely see your frustration on that, because, that would kind of piss me off, too, especially on a game like that.
It's sad.
Yeah. All right, let's get going. So, we are talking about companies that have done a 180 as far as, like, attitude and the way they handle themselves and that kind of shit this generation. And we got some pretty good response to this, and I have a feeling that we're going to get some good discussion out of our choices, too. So, Travis, why don't you start us off with some emails?
All right. This comes from Gustavo Moriera. He says, hello, and I hope I said it right, though, or I'm going to get some hate mail. Send it to GEOFF at interactivedistractions.com.
Jeffrey Von Indus.
And Gustavo says, hello, Indus crew. This is Hermes here with your question of the week. What companies have done a complete 180 in the way they handle themselves this gen? I am sure you'll hear this a lot, since the answer is kind of easy. The examples of companies that moved into and away from the dark side are respectively Activision and EA. EA hasn't completely leapt his way, creating versions of their sports games with little change year after year, but unlike previous years, the amount of new IPs they have trusted these last couple of years is impressive for a publisher, even one of its size. Dead Space, Dante's Inferno, Mirror's Edge, Mass Effect, Dragon Age, Brutal Legend, and The Saboteur are all good examples. Granted, not all of them are great games, but most are fairly competent. And the fact EA is willing to take the chances with these games like these really should stand up to any gamer that says to be tired of rehashes. Unfortunately, most of these gamers are also hypocrites that would buy Guitar Hero 27 times instead of trying something new. Activision, ever since his Blizzard acquisition, seems to be following the example of EA on the previous generation of milking franchises until they're only a carcass. Not in small part due to his CEO, who proudly claims to have taken the fun out of making video games. Tell us how you really feel, Jeff.
That was awesome, man. How'd that go again?
Dick!
We are having a new Call of Duty in the Tony Hawk every year, releases at least 5 titles with the Hero brand every year, most of which could perfectly be DLC, Guitar Hero Metallica and Guitar Hero Aerosmith, full releases, really, and drop games like Brutal Legend because it wasn't exploitable as a yearly franchise.
But they were right there.
Yeah. But there are also two companies that have turned into kind of dicks that I would like to point out. One is Blizzard, with its StarCraft 2 single player will be divided into 3 different campaigns. Each is going to be its own game, and neither StarCraft 2 or Diablo 3 are going to support LAN moves. Sorry, But it's three factions campaign and land games with friends are kind of the things I liked about the original StarCraft. So I'm not going to drop these three times the money for what is one less appealing game. Or maybe I'll just wait until some guy pirates it to download it. The other one is Valve. Not only they are not planning to release Episode 3 in a few years, and let's face it, once it's out, it's going to look slightly better than Half-Life 2. And Left 4 Dead 2 was so similar to the previous one that hardly felt like a sequel. Even less considering the original came out last year and still felt incomplete. But its whiny complaint about not making games for the PS3 because it's too hard feels more like an excuse than ever before. I get it. To make games for the 360 and PC, it's their prerogative, but at this point, when almost every developer out there is able to pull multi-platforms with a minimum loss in quality, their too hard to care argument loses a lot of credibility. That is all, and I'm sure you will disagree with some of them, but what can I say? It's just the way I feel. Regards, Hermes.
Actually, I don't disagree with one word he said.
Yeah, I don't really disagree with much of anything.
I knew this was going to be one of the ones that we heard the most, though, is EA and Activision and how they've kind of flipped. I will say this, that last week, one of the things that I said when we did the question of the week part was that there was a particular company that stirred this conversation. Mm-hmm. That company was neither Activision nor EA.
No, not that so, we had in mind anyway.
Yeah, we will get to that later, but yes. Yeah, this is, I'm glad that he mentioned StarCraft because this is something that I was talking to my best friend Ralph about, and he doesn't play a lot of games, but he's big into StarCraft. You know, he still plays it a lot, and right. He's pretty damn good at it. And you know, they just released the news that they're going to be opening up the beta next month, and I sent him the information about it, and he goes, yeah, you know, I heard something about them releasing each faction as an expansion. And I emailed him back, and I said, actually, they're doing each faction as a full retail version of the game. And now that it's Activision, they're going to probably price the fuckers at $60 for a PC game.
For sure.
And I told him that, and he goes, what? Why the hell would they do that? And I was like, that's Activision. You know, I really don't think that Blizzard would have done that if they did not merge with Activision. I honestly think that that's Activision's influence on Blizzard.
Well, maybe, or you never know because they have the whole WoW thing going and they're making a killing off that subscription base and how people will pay in increments to get money.
They're still doing expansions for that though, and you know, they're not full price. Granted, they're like $40, but still. And there's a lot of content there.
Oh, definitely, for sure. There's one thing I am going to comment on that I don't like how people blast Valve for not doing the PS3 port, and this is the reason why, is because Valve, before they got the guys who did Portal, before they got the guys who do Left 4 Dead, is they're a pretty small company, and it could be another issue where it was like Bayonetta and Platinum Games, where it could have been they went to EA, we're going to port this over to 360, and EA said no, we're going to have to put it on both platforms or else we're not going to publish you, kind of thing. And they're like, okay, well, we'll do that, but we do not have the resources to do it. And one thing that it's a pet peeve is when people say this because the developers are lazy. It's not lazy. It's like any other job. If you were sitting at your job in any given day and someone came to you and said, here's double the work for until the deadline. So now you have basically your time's getting cut in half from the deadline that you had originally. It just, their job's like any other job. So if that's just, then again, that's theoretic. I don't know. It could have been. Maybe Valve are the ones like, we want to make it on PS3, we just don't want to do it, so EA finds somebody, who knows. But that scenario seems pretty unrealistic, because EA, like Activision, are all about multi-platform, no matter what. And that seems to be when we see shitty ports, is when, like, but Bayonetta was a shitty port. Orange Box was a pretty crappy
pretty
port.
Shitty port, yeah.
And that's the only thing that can come to my mind, because all the other ones that are announced as multi-platform and that are from companies that usually do multi-platform are fine, for the most part. There's ones here and there that are kind of sketchy. But I can't see, and Gabe Newell, he spoke his mind on the PS3 many times, he just doesn't like it. So it's hard for me to believe that he even had a PS3 version in mind to begin with. So I think this is more of EA's doing than Valve's. So if anything, EA got that port to go to PS3 in the first place.
Right. I would agree with that. And, you know, he's been very vocal about it. And, you know, Jeff, I pretty much agree with everything that you said. The only thing I kind of disagree with is the double the work thing, because it really isn't. But,
well, not double. Maybe the work plus a quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what it is. And at this, I guess what I'm getting at is at this point, you know, whether he likes it or not, the PS3 is a valid contender in the next generation platform.
Definitely.
It would make them money. It's like, I don't understand why he would deny that.
I don't know. He just seems like one of those guys who just knows what he likes, knows what he's used to, and that is
and
PC.
He's stubborn about it.
Yeah, it just happens. I bet you if the PS3 was the console that had the tools and development kits and stuff that was programmed like the PC, and the 360 was the one that was alien, then it would be the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's all about ease and,
exactly.
and how quickly you can get things ported over.
Yeah, and well, it's taken them forever to do Half-Life Episode 3, so apparently not everything is easy to them anyway. So
this is true. The other thing I was going to mention is the only thing that I half agree with and I half don't is his mentioning of the sports games. Because a lot of, like, recently, from what I understand, I mean, I don't play them, but from what I understand, the sports games have been making much larger advances when it comes to EA Sports.
Lately, they
much
have.
Since,
yeah, since what's his name took head?
Peter.
Peter Moore.
You will experience love and emotion in Madden.
Look at the size
of your love
my
and emotions. Yeah. Stick the tall up your ass.
Milo is cheering for you in the stands.
Milo.
Okay. This has gone too far.
Yes, it has. I'm sorry.
But yeah, I know. It's ever since Moore joined, ever since Riccatello became the CEO of EA did the 180. We hated them. Remember how much we hated them? Almost everything EA related was our Who Gives a Shit story.
Pretty much, yeah. Started. I mean, people that have listened to us from the start, and those who have gone back and listened to like the first year of our podcast, I mean, we were not fans of EA at all.
Oh God, no.
And then Riccatello took over. He started going a new direction. You know, he got Peter Moore on board. The sports game started to take off a little bit more. They were actually adding features to it and doing improvements,
revamping the engines, and
and then all kinds of new IPs coming out, taking lots of risks. I hate to say it, but Riccatello's getting his ass kicked because
exactly.
of it right now.
Exactly. I was just gonna say. Go ahead.
It's like he's doing all of us a favor, and
no
all of us are saying, "Oh, thank you for doing that," and then nobody's buying his fucking games.
Buy the fucking games, like. Dead Space Extraction, buy the game. It's dropped twice in price now since it's been out. Like, that's
Dead Space is good. I mean, a lot of people, you know,
Mirror's Edge
kind of got
decent.
Thrashed. Mirror's Edge was fun, dude.
It was
kind of complicated, but
two thirds, and then it got meh. But they've done such a good job. Like they picking up BioWare, getting Dragon Age, Mass Effect, which you can't really say that's EA's business making those games. No, but they saw what BioWare is doing, and BioWare isn't known for making sequels, really. Like they, I don't even think they made Baldur's Gate 1. Did they make 2? I can't quite remember. But they usually point out their stuff in like Obsidian or something like that to make sequels, and that's not really something EA does. And I think ever since that, when they picked up, pardon me, Pandemic and BioWare, that was probably the beginning of the turnaround.
Right.
And, well, rest in peace, Pandemic, but I mean, they still gave many, many chances, and now it looks like they might be going back the other way.
they're definitely teetering onto their more douchey ways.
Yeah,
they're showing signs. Because, I mean, you know, didn't they even make a comment or someone make or hint at the comment of, well, you know, we tried the new IP thing, we tried it, and it didn't work, you know?
No, Riccatello was like, he's getting a lot of heat, like Chris said. Like, he is getting bashed for it in the company because he was the one who wanted to do this.
And that's exactly the issue.
Yeah,
it's like when it comes to someone like Riccatello, gamers and consumers, the people that are actually buying these games, love him. Investors, not so much.
No.
Koprick,
and casual audience, not like, because they're not buying these games. They're buying the games that they know and that they like. And they're the valve of friggin' consumers. They like the target.
And then fucking Koprick turns around and he says all this shit, and gamers hate him, but his investors love him because he's making
money. Exactly.
But the problem is he's making money off of stupid people that can't help but buy all the fucking Guitar Hero games.
Yeah, it's
stupid
weird
shit like Tony Hawk Ride. It's like, why?
And there's a rumor that they're actually going to shut down Neversoft, which is
I heard that too. It's like, it's, you've got more money than any fucking company in the business right now. Why the hell are you laying people off?
You know
off?
What that means? We bought Neversoft for X amount of money, and we're paying these guys X amount of dollars. Guitar Hero is so good on its, it sells somewhat well on its own. We can get any other up-and-coming developer that is just going to be happy to have a contract to make this game for us, and we're still going to make money. That's what it says to me. It's like, you guys can just...
And that's just more reason for me to support Rock Band, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only game Activision has put out in a long time, like, Modern Warfare is the only game, and that's not to support them, it's Infinity Ward, because I think they are really good. But maybe I should have waited another week and bought it.
I still think I'm going to buy the Japanese version of Modern Warfare so I can support Infinity Ward and not Activision.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's funny. Cool.
All right, cool. Let's get another email.
All right, no problem. The next one is from Lee Kelly. He says, "What up in this?" excuse me. Wow. What up in this crew? Lee Kelly here yet again to answer another fantabulous cue. So, the obvious name that jumps to mind is EA doing a total 180 this gen. Going to movie tie-in shitty games like Harry Potter to incredible new IPs like Mirror's Edge and Dead Space. Not sure about any other companies. I'm seriously tired after watching the whole Super Bowl in the UK. By the way, congratulations, Travis, on the Saints' victory. Was rooting for you all the way. And if you're not still hungover, which I kind of am, you didn't drink nearly enough. Peace out, guys. Lee Kelly sent from my iPhone while hoping Chris and Kill Nine don't kill me about my Android job.
Fanboys.
Now I have no problems at all with your Android jab. I just had no idea which direction you were going. So. I thought you were referring to gaming, and you weren't, so there you go.
Well, if the Android GPS worked, you would know which way he was going. No? No? Okay.
No, no. Sorry, that's not... That doesn't work, because it does work. Sorry.
I don't know anything about Android.
Well, he kind of goes over stuff that we've already talked about, as far as EA goes, and, I don't know if we really need to go into that anymore, but, it's obvious that EA is one of the companies that has... really turned itself around, and unfortunately it doesn't seem to be paying off for them very well. So,
no.
You guys, I mean, really go check out some of these games that are coming out from EA that are new IPs and stuff like that, because, we need to support new IPs in order for them to keep doing it.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to end up like Activision again and just release crappy sequels, and that's it.
If you own a 360 and not a PS3, buy Dante's Inferno. It's like God of War. It'll scratch that itch. It'll be awesome. PS3 owners, you might want to wait till God of War 3. Just saying. But I'm just, if I only had a 360, like, when I only had an Xbox, I wanted God of War so bad. And there's nothing like it. And there's really nothing like it on the 360 until Dante's Inferno. And it's not the best game in general, but it's the best God of War clone you could possibly get. So, just saying. Support them for a bit. Hopefully they'll keep going this direction. It's just hard to recommend to PS3 owners, because, God of War.
Hey, I still have Dante's Inferno. I haven't unwrapped it yet, but I have it.
There you go. It'd be like, it'd be like recommending a Halo clone to someone who owns a 360. It just wouldn't make sense. Like, all right, I can just play Halo.
Hey, I have a 360 and a PS3. What first person shooter should I get? Haze! No, not Haze.
Yeah. No. Cool.
All right, cool. Travis, do we have any other emails?
No, sir.
All right, well, I do have a couple voicemails, so let's listen to them.
All right.
Hey, guys, it's Fluffy Nuts. I have your question of the week.
Name makes me
giggle. I'm going to go with THQ. When I first got off, they had all this shovelware bullshit, like Conan, which I got ripped off of.
Everything
is good. All the Darksiders, and what's the other one they just had? I forget already, but it was good. Yeah, Saints Row 2, that was great. I love that. That was better than GTA, I reckon. Anyway, that's it. Bye.
All right, thank you, Fluffy Nuts. I didn't even think about that.
I'd agree with that for sure.
Yeah,
I've
never paid attention to them at all until recently.
They were all about the WWE games.
Yeah, wrestling games and stuff like that.
THQ, even in the 16-bit days, I remember them just being crap. I remember Did they do the Ren and Stimpy? I can't remember if they made the good. I remember there's two. There's like two Ren and Stimpy games. There's one made by them, and I think one made by Sega. And I just remember the THQ one being complete balls.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I just remember THQ always sucking like big balls, but and then they came out with UFC this year or last year or early last year, and that blew me in my mind. I was like, this is actually a good game. Like,
yeah.
Wow, this is THQ, and then Darksiders.
And everybody forgets about Red Faction.
Yeah,
like,
Red Faction.
It is
a great game.
Right, Red Faction was them.
A great game.
Yeah.
Saints Row 1 and 2 were both awesome. Like, he said that Saints Row, he reckons that it's a better game than GTA 4, and some people might scoff at that or laugh at that, but a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, I've actually heard that before.
Because it's a tongue-in-cheek gangster game, like, over-the-top stuff that GTA used to be, and 4 took it to a much more realistic look on things that people didn't really seem to enjoy as much. And Saints Row 2 came in and, you know, kind of filled that void, and it did really well. I mean, they're making a sequel, and Saints Row 2 got like a full like limited edition, all that kind of stuff. And usually a game won't get a limited edition unless it's expected to do well, and it did really well. That's a good pick. I didn't think about that, actually.
Yeah, I didn't think about it either. And I mean, just look at how much we've been talking about Darksiders the past, you know, this past month or so. That game is seriously one of my contenders for Game of the Year.
I was
going to
say, even if that came out last year, that would have been probably my top five for Game of the Year. And that's, you know, we're still early.
It's saying something. When you look at some of the games that are out, you know, that's saying something. I mean, right now, it's like, it's still friggin' February, and I've already got three games that I already know are gonna be in, like, at least my top 10 for Game of the Year.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, having balls, like Red Faction Guerrilla, not only is that, like, a sequel to, it's more like a reimagining, like a reinventing of the genre. They took a huge, huge, like, leap to even, like, they took a huge chance on this actually being a success, because they took the name Red Faction, which some people know of, but then totally changed the gameplay, 100%.
Yeah.
And it worked for them. And
yeah, it did.
Really, really
did.
Well.
Have you ever seen a game that was actually somewhat successful in the first-person shooter genre, but then when they changed platforms or changed consoles, they actually, like, completely take it away and go to a different genre? I mean, have you ever seen that?
I've seen it go the opposite way where it sucks ass. Sonic the Hedgehog. But, like, other than that, it's like, no, not be that. Like, it was the most successful Red Faction game, I think, ever. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure anyway.
Hey, Chris, have you still yet to play Red Faction, right?
No, I haven't played it because it came out around the same time as Infamous, and Infamous had all my attention at the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it was, Prototype, Infamous, and Red Faction all were like the same.
Yeah, I still haven't played Prototype either, so. You know.
Don't
bother. When I come over, I'm gonna bring Red Faction just to let you screw around and like destroy some buildings.
Nice.
It's very satisfying.
I have a feeling I would like Red Faction a lot more than Prototype if I were to get another one of those types of games.
Absolutely did.
So.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Cool deal.
All right, I have one more voicemail. You guys want to hear that?
Mm-hmm. Nah.
Nah.
All right, I won't play it.
No, I'll play it. I'm joking.
Bonds for your question of the week for this week, once again.
Hey, we're...
Companies that have done 180s. I'm going to go back a few years, not going to go way too back. I believe EA has done quite a spin. Before they used to be money grabbers. I mean, I think a lot of people had bad impressions on EA for their crappy Maddens and other things. They used to be like the bully. They used to try and buy people out because, you know, they had
no
successful
such thing as crappy
franchises.
Madden.
But I think now, I think they're a little more cooled down. They've made a lot of recent good games that I enjoyed, like Dead Space, Mirror's Edge. A lot of new franchises they're being ambitious with, and I think EA is coming up pretty well for this generation. But during the PS2 days and Xbox, they were kind of shitty. Other companies at the top of my head. SNK has been kissing ass and sucking dick since it made its first game.
Son of a bitch, you still lying.
Activision is now a money grabbing whore with all its Guitar Heroes and Call of Duties and fucking stupid people buy them, and they're successful. So, in a way, we cannot blame Activision for making money. I mean, if people are buying these titles...
That's right.
In a way, I don't blame Activision for making these games constantly, but, you know, so because they enjoy the business, but at the same time, I just don't understand the people that are buying. I can see the Call of Duty first-person shooters, you know, loyal Call of Duty fans buying their Call of Duties. But the Guitar Heroes, man, really? What the fuck is wrong with you? Anyways. any other companies at the top of my head that has made quite a spin? I believe that's it. Oh, and another game for EA, Burnout Paradise. A great game.
Oh, man.
They're a publisher, though. I believe it was Criterion.
Criterion.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyways, that about wraps it up. I'm not going to go into detail with this one.
Well, they bought Criterion, so.
Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good show. Have fun.
Thanks, Eddie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Burnout.
Yeah, Criterion?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good pickup, too. That was, again, having some balls.
But yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. You have to, whether or not, you know, they bought Criterion and yeah, it, you know, it was a back at the time where we probably thought it was like a douche move or something like that. But look what they've done with Burnout.
They gave them 100% freedom.
Yeah, 100% freedom. And look how much free DLC that we got for Burnout. We got so much free stuff for Burnout.
That came out at the time when EA was charging, like they were the kind of guys who were leading the pack of what can we possibly get our consumers with DLC? We're going to charge for alternative uniforms in Madden. That are free on the PS2 and Xbox versions. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just ridiculous. And they were like, you know what? We're going to let the Burnout guys do what they want to do. And then, this is the funny thing. They had, what, 3 free packs for Burnout?
Yeah.
And then they came out with one that they charged for, and people got so upset.
Talking about? It's like, look at all the shit that they get, and then look at the pack that they released. It was like a whole new island.
Yeah, yeah. And people were bitching about it. Oh my god, you're gonna charge me $10 for this? Like,
yeah, I'm sorry. That's good quality DLC right there, and people need to not bitch about shit like that.
At some point, you gotta be like, these people have to get paid for what they're doing. Like, they had almost a year of free stuff, which means they ain't getting shit for money with the stuff that they're giving you, except for what the publisher EA is willing to give them.
Like, and advertising dollars. We'll give them that.
Well, the advertising dollars probably goes to EA, not Criterion. Criterion are the guys, they're the ones who are making the game. They probably just get paid a salary at that point. They're like, hey, well, this is what you're getting paid. The advertising dollars go to EA, and we're not making any revenue off DLC because we're giving it to you for free. And eventually you're going to be like, hey, listen, now we need to make some extra money here, whatever. Like, we got to fund our projects. Here's some awesome kick-ass DLC that we're going to charge. Like, it might have been $15. Can't remember what it was. But $15 after a year?
Yeah.
Come on. Like,
it was a good deal. And then think about the people that actually bought, because it was like, it was the first PS3 game to be available for full download. And it was only $30 at full download. And so now you're paying $45 and you're getting like 50% more game than I got when I paid $60 for it, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, you know, it's a lot of the stuff like that. I mean, I can understand complaining about DLC that's, you know, on the disc or DLC that's, fucking horse armor or something like that.
That was advertised in a magazine for being part of the game, and then when it releases, it's like, oh, it's not anymore.
No, that's right. but yeah, that was good quality DLC. And I mean, fucking motorcycles, man, for free.
Yeah,
motorcycles. That's awesome.
It's pissed me off. But and Eddie, you stole mine, dude. SNK. I was gonna go like 180 from quality fighting games to utter shit, and that is King of Fighters, and that new Samurai Showdown, I'm not sure if it's being made by Exceed or SNK, or if Exceed is publishing it, I don't really know.
Exceed is publishing it, they're publishing it.
The one thing I would say about King of Fighters is that the online is shit, because
online is shit, it looks like crap. I think it looks like crap, I don't know.
Well, compared to the game that came out around the same time, which was Blaze Blue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's... I can see where you would say that.
Playing same couch, like same, like locally, I guess it's fine, it's okay. But, man, they just...
Yeah, the online was trash.
And Eddie's like a huge, like, I don't think, no other King of Fighters game has really had online as far as I know, and if Eddie's calling the game trash and shit, and he was like a huge SNK fan, like he was the guy who was pushing King of Fighters, like he was the one emailing us and voicemailing us every week, pushing King of Fighters, and he's just like, you know what? No, it's garbage. It is flat out shit. So, like, I'm not a big King of Fighters fan. I can't judge that because I haven't really gotten into any of them. But man, if he's saying it was shit, and he was like the biggest fan in the world, then I don't know. It's like, I think it's a little bit more than online. And the new Samurai Showdown game looks god awful.
The new one, yeah.
Yeah. I never thought those games were good.
It's like really Samurai Showdown.
Samurai Showdown 1 and 2 were pretty decent.
Yeah, Samurai Showdown 1 and 2 were fun as shit. But after that, it was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah. And the Fatal Fury Mark of the Wolves or whatever it was called, that was pretty cool. Yeah. Right, it was
I really like the games where SNK and Capcom got together and did shit together. Like,
the Neo Geo
Pocket stuff, like a Match of the Millennium for Neo Geo Pocket. That was a really, really good game. And, you know, I want them to, it'd be cool to see them do more of that.
See, I don't know if you guys know, but I had Capcom versus SNK, 2 for the Xbox and, Dreamcast.
Okay.
But that was the SNK characters running on the Street Fighter 3 engine, I believe. I think it was a Street Fighter 3 engine. Or might have been one of the alpha.
I think it was an alpha engine.
Yeah, it might have been one of the alpha engines. But that was awesome because it played like Street Fighter. I heard rumors. I don't know if this is true because I never saw it. But apparently it's a King of Fighters or whatever, or SNK versus Capcom, which is the Street Fighter characters in the SNK engine, which I never played, which I want to because I want to see how that did.
That's kind of what Match of the Millennium is.
Okay.
For Neo Geo Pocket Color. I don't remember if they did another one. I think they did, but I know that SNK did the SNK versus Capcom Match of the Millennium for the Neo Geo Pocket Color.
Okay, that makes sense then. So, yeah. Okay.
Cool. Well, do you have any others since you're talking about SNK?
I got a couple. Are we on our... Is that it for voicemail and email?
Yeah, that's it for voicemail, so we're on ours now.
I got... another one. I think Namco has done a 180 in the opposite. I think their game.
Yeah.
They used to be like a powerhouse in the 32-bit era. They were like.
They were a huge powerhouse.
Yeah.
And with PlayStation, the original PlayStation, I mean, everything Namco was sold.
Exactly.
You know?
It was guaranteed hit, guaranteed gonna
Ridge
sell.
Ridge Racer, Ace Combat, Tekken, all that stuff.
Yeah. And this gen, I know, well, we're skipping a whole gen here. They're all, even in the PS2 era. And with, well, they weren't on Xbox, but on PS2, their games did really well. And this generation, they're not doing that great.
Yeah, Soul Calibur did pretty well because it was like the first, it seemed like the first fighting game to really have high quality online play.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Star
you know,
Wars.
After that, it's been like.
Yeah, yeah, Tekken 6 has been a pretty big failure. Like, I mean, those joystick game bundles went on sale like a week after it was released.
Yeah,
like something like that. And Ridge Racer has been downhill for a long, long time.
Well, we haven't really seen a new Ridge Racer in a while. I mean, they launched one with the 360, and they launched one with the PS3. And that's really all we've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are basically the same game. But
yeah,
I still have both.
But I mean, what else is Namco? Like, did they do Valkyria Chronicles?
No, that's
not Valkyria Chronicles. They all these names I'm getting like
Tales of Vesperia.
Tales of Vesperia, yes.
Yeah, the Tales series is Namco, and you know that wasn't doing so hot.
No.
And you know it's yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming from on that one, and I kind of agree because I was huge into Tekken up to about part 3, and then it was like, eh, you know, I'm done.
Yeah, yeah. That's you're exactly me. I went to 3, and I was like, that's it. 6, they sent us one, and I can't get into it. I'm like, I want to play this game, but I cannot do it. And this, yeah. Before I name another one, you guys have another one that hasn't been mentioned? I know definitely Chris has one, which I have something to say about
that. I do have one.
Yeah.
I do have one. Actually, I'll go ahead and say that now. Mine is kind of based on, you know, what could happen this year.
Okay, then I might not have to fight you then.
So mine is kind of like a potential. You know,
okay.
They potentially had this year could be
you just
year
avoided a lot of yelling. I'm kidding.
where they really turn it around because you know they you know we've already seen Bayonetta and we've already seen Valkyria Chronicles, but from them, and now we've got Alien versus Predator, which is a, you know, a lot of people are
it's
saying looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Valkyria Chronicles 2 is coming out.
Sonic 4.
They've got the 2D Sonic that just got announced that could possibly, you know, be what everybody was hoping for. But that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to fall into that trap because every time they're like, oh, this is going to be the Sonic return to form. But he's going to turn into a fucking werewolf. Oh, you bastards.
Dude, you got to listen to this week's Giant Bomb cast.
I actually have it downloaded already. Oh my god!
When they do the whole Sonic 4 thing, Ryan Davis goes on this rant. It's hilarious. It's really.
Oh
good.
No! I did listen to that. He's like, his legs aren't moving fast enough and shit like that.
No, yeah. Not that. That might have been last. But yeah, but they're saying like, they're, you know what? All you motherfuckers, they basically said like, all you people who are looking forward to this, what the fuck is your problem? They do this every single year. They build up your hype and it sucks. It's so good.
I am hoping. Okay, I am really hoping, because they have a lot of titles out right now that are coming out this year that I am interested in, and I want to see them be successful with them. You know, Yakuza
sure.
3, I'm not a Yakuza fan, but yeah. I want to see that game, you know,
it's
at least succeed
well.
in its niche market.
It won't.
It'll succeed in its niche market.
What is that, selling like 5,000 copies?
It'll sell.
I know it's going to sell more than that. It's not Dead Space Extraction, but
I would.
It's going to sell more than that, but it's not going to be a success. It's not. Let's put it this way: if three
I would
do
say
well
it'll
here,
sell, I would say it would sell about 100,000 copies, and
okay.
I think that would be considered successful for them.
For steps of them, if it only sells about that much, we're not going to see another Yakuza game in North America.
No, I disagree. Because
really?
The other two only sold about that much. The thing about Yakuza is that fans are. They want it bad. And Yakuza 4 is coming out, mm-hmm. and it's not like it's a lot of production value to move it over.
Yes.
Because they don't do the voice. They just translate it and put it in text.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's
true
not
too.
It's very cost efficient for them.
It's low impact.
So it makes sense for them
much,
to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, okay, that's what it kind of does. It does kind of make sense. But at the same time, why the hell did it take Yakuza 3 so long to get here?
Because they were thinking about not bringing it out, and so many people,
but,
so many of the fans of the Yakuza series
okay,
got
if,
up and said
if,
they wanted it.
If Yakuza 2 sold well, or sold well enough to say, hey, this niche market likes it, why wouldn't it be a no-brainer? Why would they have to wait for people to be like, hey, no, actually, we really want this game? Because
yeah,
I don't think Yakuza
don't
2
have
did
answer
that
to
good.
That question.
I don't think it did that well at all. I think they probably lost money on even the port, and they're like, oh, this is a big gamble. And I think because it's on PS3, that's where like, okay, you know what? This might do it. This might be the game to kind of get us a little bit more players out there, people that are going to purchase Yakuza games because it's on new tech. It looks totally different. Apparently,
yeah.
It plays really different too. From what I've read,
you know, I also think that that gamers are very different in this generation as well. Because look at a game like Heavy Rain coming out, and I mean, there's a lot of different branches that we're seeing. A lot of new. You know, people that are trying new things and coming into new different types of genres and stuff like that. And I think it might have something to do with that as well. Because
you know,
a lot of people are looking at it and they're going, ooh, pretty. And they're jumping into new stuff.
That's exactly, yeah. If Sony is smart, they could get the whole square, like Final Fantasy VII thing happen with Heavy Rain is show a crap load of pretty graphics and action sequences out of context. And people will buy the game just because it looks good. And they might get it and be like, this is not what I thought it was. This is crap. But a majority of those people, or like a percentage of those people, are going to say, actually, this is pretty damn cool. And introduce people to a new type of gameplay. But if they don't do that, I think Heavy Rain has no chance in hell in doing really well. But they have a huge opportunity. Like, it's a good looking game. They can, like, Square did it with Final Fantasy VII and got how many millions of people into RPGs?
That's true.
By baiting and switching.
That's true. Yep.
Be kind of cool.
All right, Travis, you want to give us one?
I have a couple actually, and I'll make them real quick. Now, this first one's for me personally, because I've always known about them, but, you know, last year was the first year that they really became, you know, for me, top tier. And I think, publicly, Atlas, this year with
nice.
Demon's Souls.
That's a good one.
Has really, really become the forefront of these, you know, a company that's going to bring over some neat stuff. So now, whatever Atlas brings out because of Demon's Souls, people are going to maybe look at, you know, a little closer.
3D Dot Game Heroes.
Oh, I know. It's going to be so good.
I can't fucking wait for that game.
Are they
publishing
great.
That?
Yes, they are publishing that.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait, man. It's going to be great. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. And another one this year, this past year especially, Sony Computer Entertainment of America, man, you got to give them props. They really, really turned around the PlayStation this year to the point where they're catching up. Well, they sold on par almost with the Xbox, and now they're talking about the possibility of them, you know, starting to, you know, close that
they
that
were
margin.
Never bad though.
I think they started off having some problems.
So you don't think their first party games were good?
I'm just saying, as the console, getting people wanting to have that console, this year was the year they really pushed.
I think
pushed.
I see what you're saying.
I see what he's saying, but I don't think it relates
to the topic. There's nothing
wrong with,
okay, Jeff,
the PS3 had a really rocky start, is where he's going.
Yeah.
Oh, and definitely, but the developer, though, never did a 180. They were always good. Like, anything that SCA, like, in terms of games, I don't think they ever went downhill.
Yeah.
Like, they, I don't think they've done a 180 in what they've been developing. I think it's just the PS3 in general has had a rocky start, and
okay.
That's Sony's fault for marketing or whatever, whatnot. But, I mean, I don't think their first-party games have ever gone downhill since PS2.
And I've never said anything about their first-party games. I'm talking about the Sony, PlayStation, the PS3 brand in general.
Oh, was okay. I hear you saying.
Was this year their best year in gaming? I mean,
Well, it's best year of this generation, yeah.
Yeah, not in gaming, but
that's what I'm saying. They totally turned around the brand with better advertising.
People are paying attention.
A lot more.
No, I get that now. I thought you were talking about games. I was like,
no.
In terms of in terms of the branding of the place, yeah, that shit went in the hole. I mean, that's how Microsoft got their lead, is because people lost faith in Sony, and then now they totally turned it around.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oh, no, I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, because 365 ago, I was not feeling really good about the PlayStation, but now to date and looking into the future, I'm really looking forward to the PlayStation.
Dude, I got labeled a 360 fanboy for the first 2 years we're doing this, or year and whatever, and last year I was all about the PS3. Like, that's the first year I was like, damn.
And the ridiculous thing is, there are still people out there that think you're a 360 fanboy.
No, those are usually the PS3 fanboys that don't even own a 360 or don't play them, so. That's understandable.
I think where the confusion came is because Travis, you said Sony Computer Entertainment of America. And
I took it as
that
the
kind
publishing,
of
like,
sounds like the software company of putting out games. So.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely understand what you're saying, and I would definitely agree, especially on the marketing front, because, man, their marketing has sucked up till now. I'll tell you what, I still laugh at that MAG commercial every fucking time it comes on.
That's pretty funny. Their
that
marketing is definitely, since Zaku Pilot left, their marketing got so much better.
I'm glad we predicted that.
Yeah, he doesn't listen. It's no big deal.
And I heard Glenn on PS Nation say that Sony's going to be continuing that ad campaign at least, and you know, up
yeah,
until,
I heard at least a year, another year, or something like that.
Yeah, so
they need
to,
man.
Really cool.
His ads are just killing.
It works. Yeah.
They're funny. They finally got off their serious fucking emo bullshit and crazy, like, what the hell's going on, to, like, abstract garbage, to, let's just, funny works, funny and to the point, and let's show games. And their commercials have all of that now. They show the game, it's funny, and people can understand it.
And they don't even have to play saliva songs.
Exactly.
I was going to mention that.
Ironically enough, though, I thought that was their best commercial. Like, from that point on, they
up
got
until
better.
Now, that was their best commercial. Up until the Kevin Butler series of advertisements, that was probably the best commercial they had, the best series they had.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any more, Jeff?
No.
New?
I have one more. Go ahead, Jeff.
I have one more, too, and it's, like Travis said, it's more of a personal thing. And by sales and by numbers, factual-wise, I guess, would prove me wrong, but opinion-wise, I think Bungie has done a complete 180.
Really?
Yeah, Halo 1 blew me away. Halo 2, meh, but at the time, kind of blew me away. 3 was decent, but then and then ODST was just kind of, meh, let's, like, rest on our laurel, let's do what we know, not do anything exciting, and just stick to it and go. And I have not been excited for a Bungie game since, I guess I was excited for 3, and 3 is good, but it didn't, like, blow me away. ODST was a big letdown. And until Reach proves me wrong, I think Bungie might have been one of those developers that could be a one-hit wonder in terms of, we can do Halo and only Halo. And I know Reach is Halo, but at least it's a new engine and a new
Yeah, at least the visuals
new structure,
are better.
Like, yeah, the visuals are better. It's a brand new engine. They built everything from the ground up. And yeah, they can say it's still Halo, but it's still a new engine. They could have skinned it something else and made it like a different first-person shooter. But until that proves me wrong or right, I think that it's not really doing a 180. It's more of like an overrated kind of title I want to give them, I guess. Kind of.
Yeah, I got what you're saying. I got what you're saying. I think I'm going to go the same route when I get to mine.
Okay, what's yours? That's pretty much where I was going there.
All right. I know that there's one person at least out there that's going to give me some flack for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Square.
Oh, dude! Who's going to give you flack for that?
No. Fucking
that
Necro will give me flack. He said he's coming all over Final Fantasy.
Necro doesn't even know what he saw. Like the guy, like changes his mind. Like
I've been Square when in the PS1 days, dude. PS1 days. I paid attention to everything that Square released. Everything. I wanted any game that they put out. I even bought Saga Frontier.
Ooh.
I played with all of those fucking characters. I didn't care. I have one memory card that's all Saga Frontier.
Well,
I was into Square
at the time. With that memory card, could you take it and put it on other PS2s?
I could do that.
just wondering. Cool.
As a matter of fact, I can take that memory card and put it on any PS3. No, but this generation, I have been completely disappointed with everything they have released.
I can't believe no one thought about that, because they are probably the biggest in the opposite direction, or if they were awesome, to gone to shit.
Yeah, and I hate to say it. I really do, because I have always loved Final Fantasy. You know, I've played all of them. I'll say all of the American releases, I've played all the American releases, period. And I loved all of them up to 9. And ten was, you know, it was kind of meh. And 12 just...
I like 10. I like 12, except for the license system.
Twelve had the license system, and it was just a huge grind. And, you know, and now they had all these different games that they put out. And they've all been disappointing to me.
Yeah.
And I bought a bunch of them, too.
You're going to get some hate, because, I mean, okay, this is what I meant to say when you brought up the whole Sega thing, which I forgot to say, but... it's the same way, but the opposite. Whereas Square, they have the odd game that is still good. Like, Dissidia was apparently really good. I didn't play it besides the demo, but apparently that's really good. That's fine. But when
Crisis Core was really good too.
Crisis
Core was really good.
Okay, I guess.
Yeah, it was good enough.
Let's put it this way: for the bell curve that Square put out there, it was awesome.
I will agree with that, Jeff. I will definitely agree with that.
When it happens to have like anomalies where a great, great developer puts out like a lot of shit, and it's the anomaly that it's the good game, that's a 180. And that's what my thing was with Sega was when you brought up was, Sega is definitely turning it around with a couple good games, but until the anomaly is the shitty game, I don't want to give them the...
Yeah.
They've done a 180.
And I understand that, and that's kind of why I said the potential, because this year looks good for them, but just because it looks good doesn't mean it will be.
That's why I agreed with that. So I was like, okay, totally. Yeah, I totally agree with that. But Square literally did a 180 where... it went from 80% amazing titles to 80% shit in one generation.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I'm not getting 13 on day one. You know, I've been burned by them now enough times this generation. You know, I've gotten several Square games and I've gotten burned by several of them, you know, and I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to wait and I'm going to see how it reviews and stuff like that and just see what happens.
You got 12 for really cheap, the collector's edition. And
yeah, I did.
Right now we saw in the forums that Japan is having trouble getting rid of, they're selling Final Fantasy XIII for dirt cheap. And that's not because it didn't do well. It did awesome in Japan. Like it sold like 2 million or something like that. And like,
yeah, and like its first week or something.
But the thing with Final Fantasy is it's not a slow burn game. It's a people who want Final Fantasy buy it, and that's it.
It's always been that way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, except for 7, I guess. Yeah, anything after 7 has been like that, and I don't know. They got to stop relying on it.
And Final Fantasy 13 not included because it still does have the ability to be a good game. We just have to see. But I do agree with what you were saying, Chris, about the day one purchase. But Square Enix is still doing some weird things, like
Sylphie.
Yeah, they're releasing Death by Cube, like an XBLA game or something.
Oh, that was supposed to be pretty decent, actually. I never played
Yeah,
it
but that's not their
that's
normal
not their
MO.
Thing, yeah.
You know, that's not what they usually do. And I can give them credit for trying to do a lot of things that is, you know, that are big hits here in the States, you know, like using the Unreal Engine, which, you know, they don't do too well, and using, you know, trying to do these puzzle games, you know. They're just looking like, and I'm all about a company needing to change to go with the times, but they're definitely stepping away from what made them great.
Yeah.
And I'm really confused. And that even goes with Final Fantasy 13. Aside from Cid and the chocobo that's in that dude's hair, I do not see this as a Final Fantasy title.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
And it'll have all the summons, but that's it, you know?
Yeah, just... and I barely even... And that even says a lot, seeing that all the Final Fantasies, usually the proper ones, take place in different worlds. I can play Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VIII and say, man, these are both Final Fantasies. Easily. But, like, this one, it just doesn't seem like it should be. And it just seems like it should have a different name.
Yeah, yeah.
It really does. Like... To where, I don't know, I may catch a little flack for that. I can see Scott coming to me in an email thread or something like that. But with this one, but
no, he's going in with 13 with pretty low standards. So
like 13,
yeah,
because
he didn't like 12 either. He was not a fan of 12 either. And here's the thing. I really 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 want 13 to be good. I want love the game. I really
me
do.
Too.
Because I was so disappointed with 10 and 12. That I want it to jumpstart my, you know, my ability to enjoy a Final Fantasy game again, mm-hmm. And I haven't had that in a while.
That's
so,
funny because you know. it just shows how different you and I are to role playing games. Because I liked 10, I didn't beat it, and I didn't mind 12. And one of the big reasons I'm looking forward to 13 is because they said it's more like 10, where it's more like kind of like linear for the most part until close to the end or like halfway, where it kind of opens up. And I prefer that. That's why I'm actually looking forward to 13, where I didn't really look forward to 12 because I wasn't sure if it was going to be like 10 or whatnot. Or
right.
I didn't even look forward to 10 because I didn't really like 9. So it's just, yeah. I'm just pointing that out, not like...
Oh, no, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I know. It's people have different opinions about the games. It's just... One of the things that really got me about 10 is that it just felt like it was such a grind because I always felt like I was switching out characters trying to get everybody leveled up, you know, and it got frustrating after a while.
Well, you swap out characters because certain characters were stronger against other enemies.
Right.
Well, did characters in your party not level up?
No, they've made it. There are certain enemies like Tidus is pretty much strong against most of the enemies, but like, you know, some of the enemies were only weak against magic. Some were only weak against projectiles. So you had to put Waka in, you know. So they really, you know, based on what enemies come to you during the random battles, you were able to swap in and out. And I liked that. I liked being able to get everybody there.
Yeah, that's
their shot.
Fine, but Chris said like it felt like a grind to level up his character. So I'm like, did characters not in your party though not get experience if you were bad?
No, they don't. No.
That's shit.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. That's very archaic now, especially when, you know, level 5 has been doing it the whole time. It's like all of their games, if even characters that are not in your battle party, they are earning experience so they don't get too far behind.
Right.
And I think that's really important. You know,
Dragon Age is pretty damn hardcore, and I remember at a point I was like, oh shit, I'm not using these characters, and I brought them in just to see what they could do, and all of a sudden it was like, I could level them up like 8 levels.
Because they give them experience. And that's a BioWare thing, too. They're good at doing that because Mass Effect does the same thing.
Yep.
You know? So, and that's the thing. I don't know if Final Fantasy 13 is going to work that way, but God, I hope it does. Because if it does, it already has a point to get me back into playing it.
Yeah.
So.
I think they'll do it. I think
I hope so.
they'll go that route.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, seeing, you know, we just said that, you know, Square Enix is they're changing to go with what everybody else is doing, what seems to be you know, rich and famous with everybody else right now, you know, this is the new thing.
They used to be the opposite. They used to be the ones who were leading the pack and not the ones who were like, it's like our whole topic, like people like to hate on Activision, but the company that makes the most money are going to gain the most followers and the most imitators, because they want to make money too. And if they should do that, but I have a feeling that Final Fantasy 13 is going to be like more of, you don't pick your party. It probably splits you up, similar to that of like a Lost Odyssey, where there's parts where it kind of splits up and you kind of have your set party, so you are playing with everyone anyway. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I can see it doing that. I don't know. Like, when's that out? A couple weeks.
Yeah, it's
review should start.
What, the 16th of final of March?
It's sometime in March. Yeah. Exactly when. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, that's all I got,
dude. That's a good pick. I'm surprised no one said that, like, at all, because that. Seriously, I think that should be right up there with the whole EA and Activision talk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's I'm good, man. I got mine out. I got that out of my system.
All right.
Are we ready for some new releases, then? Are we ready to move on?
Let's do new releases, because, yeah, we could be talking here for a bit.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's see what Repeat has to say this week.
Big Pete. Games of note this week are the Data East Arcade Collection, which Chris said was coming out last week, but it got delayed till this week, apparently.
It's Bad Dudes on there.
Yes, it is. It is on there.
For the Wii, so it looks like a pretty good deal. Some good games now, like Burger Time. It's got Metal Drop 3, which I'm pretty excited for. And also Bad Dudes vs. Dragon Ninja, which is freaking awesome. And the other interesting game is the Phoenix Wright spin-off. It's Ace Attorney Investigations Miles Edgeworth. So yeah, that's the sort of a get to play as a prosecutor instead. It looks pretty cool. It's much more point-and-click adventure-like than the previous games, but it should be a good time on the DS for that one. So yeah, there are your two games of interest this week.
Cool. Thank you, Repeat.
Bad All dudes. Right. RoboCop reskinned. Or it might have been the other way around. I can't remember.
All right, let's fill in the gaps. PS3 is getting Alien vs. Predator and Dynasty Warriors Strike Force. PSP
yeah,
is
Dynasty
getting
Warriors.
PSP is getting SOCOM, Firestorm Bravo 3.
SOCOM what?
let's see here. 360 is getting Alien vs. Predator, Dynasty Warriors Strike Force, and Tropico 3. And I think this might be the XBLA game coming out next week. Misadventures of PB Winterbottom.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's finally coming out.
Yeah, well, it's on the list here for the 17th. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. I guess we'll see. This list is not always accurate, because it still has Data East Arcade Classics for the 9th, which obviously wasn't then.
Well, no offense to you, Chris, but Repeat usually has his shit together.
Okay.
Yeah, I went there. I don't know. I know.
All right, the Wii is getting Free Running, Fragile, Farewell Ruins of the Moon. And that's it for the Wii, plus what Repeat mentioned. And then DS is getting Ragnarok Online DS. Really? Ace Attorney Investigations, Miles Edgeworth, and Korg DS 10 Plus, and Crime Scene. And let's see. For the PC, EverQuest 2, an expansion called Sentinel's Fate, and then Alien vs. Predator. And that is your new release list. So what do you guys think? Pick of the week?
I gotta say, is Dynasty Warriors Strike Force the one that was made in Toronto?
I don't know. Maybe? I'm not sure.
I was gonna say, I should probably... Because I know a buddy of mine worked on that game. I should probably pick that, but I'm not going to. Because he may or may not have said it was terrible. So I'm not gonna pick that. Travis, right. What's your pick of the week?
Well, I'm not gonna... I'm gonna let you stay original. Plus, you already said that you're gonna pick...
I'm picking
Alien vs.
Predator.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
So, I'm actually gonna... go with Tropico 3 on the 360.
All right.
Yeah.
Chris?
I don't have one.
I was going to say, I don't think Chris will have one this week.
Yeah, I don't have one. I could go... Yeah, I don't have anything.
Finish Mass Effect.
Mass buddy. Effect. Yeah, that's my pick of the week.
For the second time. Because we played through the second time. It might be brand new anyway.
That's right.
So this game, I feel like we're overhyping this shit because everyone and their grandmother is, but this game is actually really, really fucking good.
Yes,
like,
it is. By the way, we have scheduled the spoiler episode So you guys, if you're, you can actually, I don't know if we're going to ever get around to reading any of them if you send them in, but if you want to send in emails for the spoiler episode of Mass Effect, well, it'll probably be like a spoiler, like review episode, basically.
Yeah. And, pretty and, similar to like the Fallout and the other Mass Effect specials we did.
Right, right. And, we're going to be recording that on February 27th, did we say?
7th, yes.
February 27th, which is a Saturday. So, you know, look for that the week after, and, you know, hopefully it'll be a good listen for you people that have beaten Mass Effect.
Because we're going to spoil the we crap out of that game.
I'm pumped, man. We can finally talk about Mass Effect.
God.
After weeks of wanting to talk
about it. I
want to
tell you guys, fuck the second playthrough, man. It'll be so much more cool to hear other people's stories that are totally different than yours.
Well, that's the thing. Sam. That's why I want to start the second playthrough, but not finish it.
Okay, okay. Yeah, the end is probably like a big, big thing.
Oh, so. The end's so good. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
After we record, me and you should stay on and talk for
a
little bit.
Dude, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. Well, then let's finish up then.
All right.
Travis, let's do some emails real fast.
Email.
Got the email.
All right. First one. It's Sean, a.k.a. Sports Craze 2 here.
Hey, Sean.
And
hey.
I have a quick, real quick question for your show. Have you ever tried a sequel to a game you hated and ended up absolutely loving?
Hmm.
That's a good question.
I won't say that I hated it, but I can tell you that I would not suggest the first Assassin's Creed to anyone, but I would suggest the second Assassin's Creed to just about everyone.
There you go. That's it can't be a cop-out, but say, I did not like the first one, loved the second. Well, I can't say I loved it, because I haven't beaten it yet. It's kind of been put on the back burner, but such a huge improvement.
Yeah,
I gotta
it's definitely.
Something else. There's got to be something else.
Definitely
there.
A step up.
Oh, the Street Fighter 2 versus Street Fighter. I hated the first one, couldn't play it. Street Fighter 2 just fucking took my life. That game like made me live in arcades when I was like 12 years old or 13 or however the hell old I was.
Yeah.
That was, yeah. First one, not so much.
That's kind of all I got.
I can't really think of one. The only thing that comes to my mind right now is the game hasn't even come out yet, but I really did not like the first the first two Metal Gear Portable Ops.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're looking at the
I did not like them, but I really think I'm gonna love based on the U.S. demo. I'm really gonna love the new portable one.
Yeah, yeah.
So right. That is pending. That is pending right now, but I really think that's gonna be my answer.
Cool.
Yeah.
So. I know, dude. I know there's fucking one.
I got one that goes in reverse.
I got a lot. That
I got
reverse.
Several of those, man. Yeah.
What's one that goes in reverse, Chris? Might as well say.
A Vandal Hearts, which is a strategy RPG.
I
loved
the first Vandal Hearts.
No.
Vandal Hearts 2 also came out on the PS1, and it was crap.
I wouldn't say it's crap.
They destroyed the combat system in that game. I didn't like it at all.
I got
it
one.
Was... Go.
Oh, no, I thought you were still going to go on.
No,
that's
I'm done.
I was going to say. Okay.
I don't feel like arguing.
I was going to say I did not like X-Wing at all, but fucking love TIE Fighter. I don't know if that counts I don't think that counts as a sequel, but man, that game. I'd even say the same for Wing Commander 1. Wing Commander 1 I thought was meh. Wing Commander 2 was freaking awesome.
And Wing Commander 3 was even better than that.
The camera was 3 the one where they wrote in the live action, or was that 4?
3 is where I think 3 is where they wrote in the live action.
Okay, when Luke Skywalker was in it?
Yes. And they actually got someone to dress up as a Kilrathi? Yeah.
Yes.
You can't deny that was awesome.
Oh, God, no. God, no. There's definitely this guy. Oh, I can't think of anything. God damn it.
All right.
I got
reverse.
One.
Yeah, go.
Lunar Silver Star Story compared to Lunar Eternal Blue. Even though Eternal Blue is good, Silver Star Story is way better. Chris,
all right.
Buddy.
I have no objection to that, really.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was actually oddly disappointed with most of Eternal Blue.
Actually, I would go as far as to go a step past that and say Lunar Dragon Song for the DS, because it was ass.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Don't play that game. People, save yourself the effort. I went out and bought that game when I saw it for $20 because I'm such a huge fan of the Lunar series.
Right.
Yeah, I want my money back. I do. I want my money back.
What was the... Did you already say a reverse one? Am I retarded?
Those are both reverse.
Oh, those are both reverse. Okay. Yeah. My biggest reverse this gen was Resistance 1 to Resistance 2.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was my biggest one. I really liked 1, thought it was kind of original and did some new things. Resistance 2? Meh. Yeah. And...
Killzone.
Halo 3 to ODST. Oh, Killzone, dude. Actually, you know what? I didn't hate Killzone 1. I thought it was terribly put together in terms of technology, but I can't say I hated it, but it was a huge step up. Like, huge. Right,
cool. Yeah. That was a good one.
Let's do it. Next.
All right, next. Hey, been waiting for God of War 3 and Final Fantasy 13, and have been saving money for both of them. Sadly, my PS3 yellow lighted of death.
That's not true. PS3s never die. Glenn says
so.
On top of that, my new iTouch got fucked and bricked, but I did manage to fix it and jailbroken
well,
after that.
Dude, rub one out before you try using it. Just saying.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because he said they got fucked.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. With my PS3, I still try to fix it, but the YLOD fix only lasts for about 2 to 3 months max.
No, that sucks.
So, on to his questions. What a lead-in. On to his questions. Number one. Wii game or games that you would love to see on the PS3 or 360 without Waggle.
Oh, I know exactly where Jeff's going. Go, Jeff.
Well, I know what exactly I'm going to say, but until he said without Waggle. I was going to say Tatsunoko versus Capcom, but that doesn't use Waggle.
Right, he said without Waggle.
Yeah. Okay, then Tatsunoko versus Capcom.
All right.
For sure. That's the Wii game that should have been on the other consoles before the Wii. Just saying.
I would say No More Heroes, which is coming out on them. So
that's a good one though, because till recently.
And possibly Mad World, but unfortunately Mad World didn't really live up to my expectations. It was kind of repetitive and boring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we pick Nintendo games?
See, that's what I was going to say.
Zelda.
You fuckers.
Sorry. I was actually going to say Metroid, but...
Oh, that's a good
one. Yeah, I would like to see a true next-gen Zelda.
Darksiders?
That would be really... No. Zelda.
Darksiders?
But we already decided you don't like Zelda because you don't like Darksiders.
I like Zelda. 3D Dot Game Heroes will prove it. When Zelda is done right.
All right, what's next?
Favorite game villain.
Game villain. That's
While you're thinking, mine's easy. It's Galleon. Bringing it back to Lunar, man.
Oh yeah, that's
a good one. Galleon's my favorite. Kefka, close second.
Okay.
Wow.
Dude, I swear, if any one of y'all say Sephiroth, I will destroy you.
I haven't been this. Definitely I thought Sephiroth was a cool character, but I don't think he's the coolest one. He's a little bit of a pussy, too. Dude, Polly from Darkness is still the one that leaves that image in my mind when he just fucking blew your girlfriend's face off right in front of you. Just
that was insane, yeah.
That is the first game that made me really pissed off at the villain. Be like, you son of a bitch. I thought Saren was pretty cool in Mass Effect 1, but they didn't use him enough. He could have been a lot cooler.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, but I couldn't. Yeah, I don't really have anything else.
Like super villains. God damn it! I know I like listening to the emails, voicemails like while we record, but stuff like this, I'm like, oh man, I wish I had some time to think.
All right, well, I'll make sure to send this shit to you next time.
All right, cool.
Let's just go to the next one.
Okay, next question, the last one from B Wrong is. 2010 games that would definitely fail.
Definitely fail?
Anything related to Natal or Ark?
There you go.
Done.
That would definitely fail? Yeah. I don't want to say it, but I think Heavy Rain and Alan Wake have the two highest fail chances out of all the AAA games.
I don't agree whatsoever. I was going to bring this up before, but we kind of moved on when we previously mentioned Heavy Rain. But I think we live in a time now where people are so easily swayed by reviews and word of mouth and what quote unquote
The reason why is because MPD just came out today and Darksiders sold better than Bayonetta. And that is in terms of review scores, Darksiders is way below Bayonetta. And
Bayonetta is a different beast though because it's so wacky in Japanese. I think something
and
that's more pointed
Heavy Rain
towards.
Isn't wacky and niche
no, it is.
And
I don't think
weird.
It is wacky at all.
It's not wacky,
it
but it's
wacky at all.
It's definitely off the beaten path, so to speak. Like, it is not something that gamers. Like, Bayonetta at least is an action game, which they can kind of relate to. And Heavy Rain is just something that, unless you played Indigo Prophecy, you have no idea what the hell you're getting into.
I think it's getting enough. You know, even when Bayonetta was coming out, it wasn't getting, like, it was getting attention.
No, but I'm saying you said reviews, that they're paying more attention to reviews, and review-wise, Bayonetta did better than Darksiders.
Okay,
and Darksiders is selling way more. So
you can say that about anything though.
But like, no, I'm just saying what you literally just said, that you think people this day and age are paying more attention to reviews.
Yeah, but that won't be consistent as Gravity every time. There's always going to be something that gets good reviews but doesn't sell as well as other games. But I think that the majority people are following reviews. Just because Bayonetta did it doesn't mean that the majority still doesn't. You know what I'm saying? Bayonetta just happens to be that anomaly in the system.
I wouldn't say it's an anomaly, though, because you can name a lot of games that have reviews, 80s to, like, 90s, that sold like crap. Okami sold like shit, and that had really, really great reviews.
But like, then on the flip side, I'm pretty sure you can find more games that scored 80s or above that still sold better than most other games. Like,
that sold lower, maybe. Or, like, that's, like... I'm trying to think of a good comparison, because I don't think Bayonetta and Darksiders is an anomaly. I think it goes more towards reviews and more towards aesthetics and what type of game it is. I think it goes more like
yeah, and I agree that has a lot to do with it. We're on the same page there, but I do think that the buzz that Heavy Rain's getting, because people still remember the tech demo.
Does
the audition
it have buzz
tech demo.
Outside of us though?
That remains to be seen. That's... But I'm going to tell you, if Darksiders can sell, I think Heavy Rain can sell. I really do. And I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be completely honest with you. A lot of this is wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. I will be completely honest with
you.
But I do think Heavy Rain is going to do decent. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to do decent.
It depends what decent is. Because I don't think Heavy Rain's gonna do as well as Darksiders.
How many copies did Darksiders sell? I mean, it sold
total?
Over a million. I mean,
I know it sold over a million.
This month
it was
170,000.
It was 170,000 for this month.
Yeah, for
so
January.
A month later. So I honestly don't think it's gonna do better than Darksiders, and it's gonna definitely reviewing better than Darksiders. And I just
well, I should iterate that that's just for one console. It was 170,000 for 360 by itself.
Yeah.
Okay. And then figure it was probably a similar amount for the PS3.
So, yeah, it's kind of a weird comparison, too, because Heavy Rain's only going to be on one console. So it's obviously going to be at a disadvantage from the
beginning. I actually kind of agree with both of you, sort of. I think it's going to do well enough. I think you'll probably see in the month of February. Well, wait. It comes out at the end of February, right?
Yeah. 23rd.
And, yeah. I don't think you're going to see a lot of. I don't think you're going to see a huge amount of sales in February, but I think the February-March combination will probably get to anywhere between 300,000 and 500,000.
Yeah, but the question is, out of the games that have come out this year, which ones have the most, like, which ones are the most likely to fail? And I think that is Heavy Rain or Alan Wake, because God of War 3 is not going to fail. Halo Reach is not going to fail.
No.
Final Fantasy 13 is not going to fail. None of these games are going to fail. They're going to sell well no matter what their reviews are. Like, if I were to pick like a AAA game or a game that is hyped up that will most likely fail, I think for both it would be Heavy Rain on PS3, Alan Wake on 360. I can't think of any other
games. Is the horse dead?
Well, no, but I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, Alan
Wake,
I don't
do you guys
know.
Agree with Alan
we'll
Wake?
See. Like, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, okay,
we'll
do you see. Think do you think Heavy Rain's going to
fail? White Knight Chronicles is going to fail.
Yeah, but, yeah. But no, Travis, before we totally beat the horse, so what, Travis, do you think Heavy Rain's going to do better than God of War 3?
Well, of course not.
Do you think it's going to be better than Final Fantasy 13?
No.
Do you think it's going to be better than Gran Turismo 5 if it happens to come out this year?
No.
What game on PS3 do you think, out of the big games that are going to be released, which one do you think has the most potential to fail? We're not saying which do you think will sell well. Which one out of the big games that are coming out has the most potential to fail?
It's easy, Heavy Rain.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's not going to do well. I'm saying out of the games that are coming out, chances are it's the one that has the most potential to fail.
Okay, well, if you put it like that, then yes, I agree.
Well, that was the question.
But is it going to fail, like, commercially? Like, okay, Indigo Prophecy failed commercially.
I'm just going by the question B. Wrong said, which is one has the most likely to fail. And that one,
but it also didn't say what big title.
It didn't say Sony exclusive or nothing like that. But it's going to... Okay, you said it yourself, Jeff. You said it yourself. Okay, a game could be pretty, and that's all it needs to do to entice people in, and whether the game sucks or if it's good.
If the marketing's done well.
If the marketing's done
well.
Like
the way Square did it.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of games that are really pretty that sold like shit. So it all depends on the marketing and what they choose to do with the marketing. Because if a game is just pretty, that's all you really have.
Right.
Is the marketing. So it's done well. Like, I haven't seen a single commercial. Well, it's not out for another month, so...
Okay, yeah, and we'll see how it goes. You know, if it sucks, I mean, if the sales suck, I'll eat crow. If not, I'll shove it down your throat.
Well, you don't even have to eat crow or something in my throat. I'm just saying, if I were to pick one for each console, Heavy Rain would get it for PS3. And you haven't been able to argue that because every game I mentioned that's coming up for PS3, that's
you're giving me AAA titles. You're saying like,
well, and we could go the easy way out and be like, okay, any game that is a licensed game by Ubisoft. But okay, duh. Of course it's gonna fucking fail and be crap. I mean, you gotta pick a game that's at least kind of some kind of profile that people are looking forward to. And yeah, I said Alan Wake, and I would stick to it. I'm not saying it's gonna sell crap. I'm just saying out of the games that have come up for PS3 that are high profile, that has the biggest chances of not selling well. And likewise, Alan Wake on 360, because it's been too damn long, and I don't think really that many people care anymore.
Right. That makes sense.
I will agree with
that. And I know you're a huge Heavy Rain fan. I know this is more like your, I want it to do well, like I love that kind of game thing, kind of, but just, you know, it's like, I don't know, realistic looking, I guess. We'll see
what
happens.
Okay, cool deal. Well, let's go ahead and move along. I said we'll wait and see, you know, how it sells and everything. So now that we've, you know, solidified the fact that Jeff will not play Heavy Rain because he hates it.
No,
we'll
I,
go on
I,
to the
I'm
totally
I'm
messing
buying Heavy
with
Rain,
you.
Jesus Christ.
I'm so playing with you, man. Go on. Moving to the next email.
Yeah, thank you, God.
Fuck you.
Jack.
Seriously, you cannot make anyone, if you're a fan of any game, you can't say anything bad about it.
No, I'm totally getting to the point where I'm just joking around now. Okay, our buddy Jackal writes in again this week saying, "Dear Indus crew, sincerest apologies to Christopher Riccio for blowing a gigantic Normandy-sized hole through last week's feature. It won't happen again."
That's a big hole.
"I implore you not to blame Travis or Jeff, for they were only doing their duty as hosts to treat one of their loyal listeners with the individual care and respect that is the mark of a good podcast. Besides which, Travis didn't know my email would screw shit up. He doesn't look at them before he reads them out. This gives Indus the spontaneous and natural feel that has become the calling card for the best video game podcast in the business. Anyone who thinks otherwise simply hasn't heard you yet. There, wow. Now hopefully you guys won't block me from the mailbag." Okay, I guess we'll give you a pass.
We forgive you.
And he says, "Rock on, the Super Bowl winning Saints. Rock on, the newest, littlest Riccio. And rock on, Mounties, or whatever it is you Canadian folk are into."
Yeah, we're totally Mounties.
We love Mounties. "Yours epically, the Jackal 666.
Nice. That was, he sent an email last week with question of the week information and like stuff that should have been read at the end of the show, and we just kind of went off on this large tangent
thing,
for like 20 minutes to a half an hour about something that wasn't related to the feature. So
the bet.
It's not a big deal. It's just at one point you just got to put it, you know, put it just like, hey, look, it's like 12:30. Let's go.
Kind of like a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Chris has to go to work early in the morning. Can't do this.
All right. Hey, I have something that we haven't had in a while.
What's that?
You guys ready for this?
For what?
Okay, so the big thing is I had to reformat my hard drive. You know what that means. I lost everything. The file I had of intro, gone. If I can get that back from one of you guys, that would be fantastic.
Hey, it's Ace.
Also, it seems I'm actually just running out of questions. So I only have one this week. Sorry, guys. My question this week is, have you ever had a good experience painting?
Wow. Painting.
That's a completely random question. Holy crap.
I haven't painted since like elementary school. And this year, never mind. I'm not even going to go there.
Just chocolate count? that was Ace's High, of course. Ace's, I will see about getting you the intro music for that. I missed it. What'd you say?
You have to listen to when it's or edited or whatever.
Oh, you fucking suck.
I'll tell you after. Okay. When you repeat stuff, it's not as funny.
Okay.
Asshole.
I have no
I'm not an artist, so I don't do artistic painting, and I can't ever think of a good experience while painting a wall or anything, so I really don't have anything to say.
Because yeah. The best thing I ever had painting was, like, you just reminded me now when you said a wall was, this is such like a ridiculous story, but when I lived in my old place with my buddy and his friend from work, my two roommates were painting the walls and shit, and it turned into, let's paint the guy's shoulder to let's paint a little bit on his face to throwing paint at each other and having a ridiculous time being retarded. And which at the time felt like a good idea until we realized, oh my God.
How are we going to get this paint out of everything?
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't that bad, but it was, yeah. Fun times.
Cool.
Travis? Nothing?
Mm-mm. Nothing. I don't paint.
All right. Let's see. Well, that is all the emails. That's all the voicemails I have. And you said that's all the emails. So let's move on. Contest.
Contest.
Travis, you want to talk about the contest?
I mean, we're still doing it. We are still awaiting more entries in the... give us your best, funniest, slash creative, most creative ESRB rating of God of War 3. And we've got a few already. And quite excited about reading these out. I'm really excited. There's some funny stuff. Some really funny stuff. That's pretty much all I got about it. I mean, we need more. I think we have three or four.
Yeah.
Entries?
Something like that. We don't have very many, so...
Let's put it this way, guys. Like, send that stuff in, and the fact that if we're not getting too many, that is more of a chance you have at winning this thing.
Right.
So...
Yeah, and Confidence Man, too, I'm looking at you, buddy.
You don't
want to
give this shit away. Like, it's in your hands, this opportunity. $20.
And we're gonna try this out and see how it works, but we're actually gonna take the contest and we're gonna make the feature for that week is gonna be reading off all the contest entries and, you know, discussing them and deciding a winner and that kind of thing. So, we're gonna give that a shot too. So, yeah, definitely send those entries in and, $20 gift card to Amazon. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
All right. So question of the week next week. Is there any franchise or game series that you would just like to see die?
Just go away.
Just go away.
Bye-bye.
Just done. And give a reason to, because I know we're getting
a lot of
to Halos and Final Fantasy and whatever, but
I'm going to say make it a legit reason. Don't just say, I want Guitar Hero to die because it's Activision. You know? I mean, I want Guitar Hero to die because it's Activision.
That one
can
slide, though.
Can we disqualify music games? Because I know we're
gonna disqualify music. No music games allowed.
We've heard people bitch about the music games enough. We know why it sucks. We all agree. No music games. Disqualify.
Anything besides music games is game. I agree with that.
If you send in an answer to the question of the week that has a music game, we're not going to read it. How about that?
Ooh. All right, that's good.
All right, so you can send the answer to the question of the week to email at interactivedistractions.com. You can also leave us a voicemail. Our number is 706-760-4337.
It's almost late, but it's not.
You can follow us on Twitter. That is Indus Podcast. And you can follow us each individually as well. That is Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That's GeoffVonInds.
Geoff on Indus.
My voice can't. My throat's very sore. I can't get very high. There you go.
Awesome.
All right. We also have a Facebook group, and that is Interactive Distractions Podcast. And I think that's it.
And hit up our website, interactivedistractions.com. I know it's kind of still kind of in the works, and so to speak, but we got shit going up there.
We're really hoping to get to the point where we're posting at least like
stuff,
like two plus articles a day. But it's really hard to do that when all of us have full time jobs.
Exactly.
Yeah. So bear with us. We're really trying. And as I said, you know, we all have like multiple game reviews in our queue, so we're doing the best we can. So bear with us.
True that.
All right, cool. If you guys have anything else?
I don't think so.
All right, cool. Well, then let's get the hell out of here.
Cool.
Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And you could also leave us an iTunes review. That is always helpful. Gets us noticed more on iTunes, and it is appreciated. And we are now officially on the Zune Marketplace. I got an email from Zune
the
other day.
Well, I keep trying to remind you. A friend of mine keeps saying, dude, you're off the Zune Marketplace. Apparently we were on it, and then we're taken off again.
Well, I got like a welcome email from them the other day. It's like, hey, welcome to the podcast. You're welcome podcast to the Zune Marketplace. I'm like, yay. All right, now I can start telling people that we're there.
Cool.
But, so yeah, I mean, if you guys are on Zune Marketplace, then leave us a review there too as well. We'd appreciate that as well. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I am Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play Mass Effect, and we'll talk to you next week.
Ooh, Mass Effect.